This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear, and when I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe,
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. Well, he told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas. Pizzas.
And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming, or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because, that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call him the Dork.
Mike Parenti.
Everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you. And I don't like nobody touching my stuff. Just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you.
And you never know who else might stop by.
You're a sexual dynamo. Most guys couldn't even handle you. I've been reading books on the outside just so I can keep up with you.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of bitch.
All right, anytime I'm ready, says Gary.
As long as you get your quesadilla first.
I thought Parenti was eating my quesadilla. I was about to go over the table. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred Kirsch, Mike Parenti, Paul Perillo. Andy will be back as soon as he gets back from Matt Castle's press conference. Eric will come when he's damn ready.
Yeah, when he feels
made
like
us clear that he comes when he's ready now, and he doesn't follow anyone's schedule. Gary's in the booth, and we're here until 2 o'clock. It's Thursday. It's a big day. It's the Qdoba question of the day, and also it's picks coming up at 1 o'clock, so we'll be doing that. A lot to talk about. The big news that kind of gave everybody a shiver today was more info on the Globe and the Herald on Tom Brady having yet another procedure on the knee.
Two more procedures.
My sources say that everything's fine and that it's nothing that they didn't know internally here. And he's going to be okay, and he's going to be on the road to recovery. Let's hope so. But it does, you know, it makes you think. Anytime you open up somebody for anything, you know, anytime you open up the human body, things can happen.
This is why, unlike Andy Hart, he chose not to make a guarantee that he was going to come back 100% next year.
Right.
A junior mint can fall in.
You know, anything can happen.
And how rare do they say infections are with knee injuries, and yet he has one.
Right.
So you just don't know. You
what were they using,
assume.
Dirty tools over there in L.A. or something? I mean, come on. We can't clean up. We can't make sure that we don't get any infections when we do this stuff. All right. Anyway, you know, because you walk out, you know, you walk with the hands up after you wash your hands.
Yeah.
You have your hands up, and the nurse comes and, you know.
Yeah, that's what they do on Nip Tuck when I watch that. They always have their hands
right,
up.
Right, right. Let's get this right here. Anyway, let's hope that things are okay. What is going on? Is people walking in and out? Two Ginger just walks in like he hasn't eaten in 4 days. Do you have your food now, Dan? Is everything okay?
He's distributing
food. You got
your
burrito?
He's not even listening to you anyway.
Okay, all right. Dan's got his burrito now. He's okay now.
You okay?
Five minutes ago, he was on his knees in front of the quarterback. He's back. What is he looking for? What are you looking for?
Yeah, I'm not happy about the situation, Fred. I got to tell you.
What, this whole Qdoba thing?
No, the Brady thing.
Oh, the Brady thing. You're not happy?
No.
Tell me why.
Well, we all thought originally it was a strange decision for him to go on the West Coast, but we agreed that, you know, it's an individual choice and whatnot. But, I mean, it looks like you're kind of 20/20 hindsight.
Yeah.
Because he had the infections, but it's not. I mean, this is the best area in the country for medical care. Why would you intentionally leave that? And if you were going to do that, why wouldn't you go to the most renowned orthopedic specialist in Dr. James Andrews in Birmingham, Alabama, who
right.
takes care of all of the athletes?
Right.
I thought it was a strange decision, and now I think there's some concern. Now, maybe you're right. Maybe our sources that you talked about, you know, nothing caught them off guard and everything is on track. But, you know, worst case scenario, they have to redo the entire procedure over again.
Right.
And maybe that sets them back another month or two. I mean, who knows?
Absolutely. No, I kind of agree with you.
I'm not happy with it.
But you see this a lot, especially when you get to the higher priced athletes, you know. They want to go to their own guy. You know, I don't know if it's just...
But is this his guy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, somebody obviously recommended this guy. I don't think he went in the Yellow Pages and found him. Somebody obviously said to him, hey, go to this guy. And I think there's an inherent distrust between athletes and teams when it comes to major injuries. Like, we've seen it with the Red Sox often. Remember back then, who was it, Jody Reed or I forget who it was.
Marty Barrett. Yeah. When they had Dr. Arthur Pappas. Now,
right.
That was a little ridiculous. Dr. Pappas was not only the team physician, but he was a part owner of
right.
the team.
So you can see
if I was Marty Barrett, I would have looked elsewhere as well.
But you can see the whole second opinion thing. And when a guy has so much at stake like Brady does, you know, he's awful careful. He believes only he can really have his best interests in mind. The team has other players to consider, the team itself. So, you know, maybe they're thinking, well, they don't always have my best interests at heart. And I think that's why some of these players make this decision. I agree with you, though, Paul. I mean, you got Mass General Hospital right here.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are pretty good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots medical staff is comprised of some of the most well-respected people in their specialties in the world. You know, and I'm not going to get into all the names and all the specialties, but it's just a fact. I mean, that's the people that you're dealing with. And for him to intentionally have gone away from what I think is the best care that you can get, I think was a strange choice.
Yep. So, anyway, that was the big news. Otherwise, Lamont Jordan was participating in practice yesterday. That's a good sign.
It was a walkthrough, though, as Andy said.
So.
And
it even
indicated that on the injury report, that the practice was a walkthrough.
Well, Morris wasn't there, though, so...
Yeah,
you can look at it both ways.
Everybody else was. So I want to see him in pads running around doing something, not just a walkthrough before you start to say, okay, he's ready to play.
Well, who's covering practice today?
That would be me.
So you will tell us?
I will in 45 minutes or so.
Okay. So we'll see what happens today. I assume since yesterday's a walkthrough, they'll be in pads today, but we don't know. Maybe it could be another walkthrough. Who knows?
They really need one of those two between Morris and Jordan to avoid having Falk and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis as your
two running backs. So. I think so. I think they really need to attack this game the same. Hey, if it ain't broken, you know, don't fix
another
it.
Bad run defense.
Yeah, just
so
do
not
the same
it on
thing.
The
another bad run defense and some bad weather predicted for Sunday.
Yeah, that's another
rain
factor,
and
too.
Wind and
a lot
crap.
Of rain and crap.
You know, and that'll be interesting, too, with the situation with weather that we knew Brady was always so effective in weather. That's going to be another obstacle.
Matt Castle hasn't played in bad weather since high school.
Matt Castle hasn't played in any weather, period.
He never played in a bad weather game in high school?
He's never played in weather, period, in 8 years. he hasn't played. But that's going to be another thing to keep an eye on is how he handles the inevitable bad climate that he's going to be playing in the next couple of months.
I'll assume he's never played in snow.
Right.
Probably a safe assumption given where he's from. So if you get a good flurry or a blizzard here one day or even in Buffalo somewhere, that could be
now,
fun.
He did play a good portion of that last game against the Dolphins here.
I forget the weather that day.
And it wasn't what I would call a bad weather day, but it was December, so it wasn't balmy.
It was cold.
By any means. And he played okay in that day until, you know, he airmailed the two-point conversion, you know, slipped out of his hand.
Yeah, that one slipped.
We recall that. I'm sorry. I cut.
Right.
Caught Freddie with a mouth.
Fred in mid-bite.
No, I remember that. Guys were in the locker room today.
Man.
What's happening in there?
Not a whole lot. A lot of cards. Media gathering.
A lot of cards.
Yeah.
It was one of the all-time worst days of media availability, I think.
Is that right?
I talked to Ty Warren a little bit about the rotation thing that Andy was talking about yesterday. And, you know, he said the predictable things, the stuff that Seymour, I guess, said to Andy before. You know, it keeps us fresher and... He wasn't used to it because he used to being on the field for every first and second down at least.
Right.
And some thirds. So it caught him off guard. And I said, well, you know, are you okay with it? And he was like, yeah. He goes, you know, can't argue with the results. So obviously they're taking it the right way. And if they are upset about it, they're smart enough not to tell us about it.
Oh, good. Send me those quotes.
Well, you saw the quotes.
What quotes?
He was standing next to me when I talked to him.
Yeah, I wasn't paying attention, though. I was thinking about my case.
The quotes?
Yeah.
What I just said.
Okay, good. I'll just write that down.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. You heard. I mean, you were standing right next to me
when I
was talking.
I heard a little bit.
You know, after I asked him where his kids were at the Halloween party.
Right. Mike Wright said the same thing. It keeps us fresh and it allows different guys to be out there. He says, I noticed a difference in the fourth quarter. You know, I feel a lot fresher. But he doesn't play a lot anyway, so.
I was going to say, Mike Wright.
He's the wrong guy to ask in terms of freshness, but that's all I had because there's nobody out there.
Works out great for him. He plays.
Tried to get LaKeven Smith, got blown off. Big time LaKeven
Smith.
Really?
Well,
not,
that's
not
worse than
brutally.
No, it's not worse. I got blown off by Robbie Abdullah.
He basically said, "I got to come back," and I got to.
Oh, okay.
He said, "No,
he's a really nice guy."
He says, "I got something somewhere else," and he went into the bathroom. So,
He did. He had to go.
Technically, he had something somewhere else in his bowels.
Drop off the kids at the pool.
Speaking of kids, Andy and Paul brought their kids to the Halloween party yesterday, and the players were there with their kids. Which kids?
Not
which,
many.
Which players' kids had the best costume?
Stephen Neal.
The little Yoda?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute.
Little Yoda was really good.
Very cute.
That's cool.
But there weren't very many players there.
No.
Matt Light showing tons of imagination. His kid was like a little outdoorsman.
Oh.
You know? Had like waders on.
Bass Pro.
Like, you know, the like that. Yeah, Bass
he probably
Pro.
Probably bought it at Bass Pro.
Probably all from Bass Pro.
Right.
Matt Light, Stephen Neal. Oh, Karen Carrigi on the phone for the ESPN.
Nice. Yeah. On TV.
Look at her. What did they have? Who else was there? David Thomas. Stephen Neal, Matt Light, Ellis Hobbs, Pierre Woods. And I don't really remember seeing too many others, if there were any others. Josh McDaniels, Dean Pease were there. Didn't see really I've seen bigger turnouts from the team side than right. I did on Tuesday.
Okay.
Ty was telling me he had a parent-teacher night for his kids that night. That's why he
a
didn't
short
show.
Week.
Yeah.
Might kind of everything be a little compacted a little bit. So.
I think it's funny. You know, I've been to parent-teacher weeks, you know, conferences, and usually you go into the classroom of the kid and you sit at their little desks. You see like Ty Warren sitting at those little desks.
Getting up and the desk comes with him.
Right. All right. WebRadio@Patriots.com is the email address. It's WebRadio@Patriots.com, 508-543-7482.
Freddie, I should tell you, Matt Castle just spoke. It was late.
Yeah.
He spoke. He actually went to the podium because it was at the very conclusion of open locker room period. Didn't say anything all that notable, I didn't think. The couple things that jumped out to me was saying that a lot of the sacks are on him, not on the offensive line. He needs to work on that mental clock, throw the ball away more, sort of everything we were talking about yesterday. And then he was asked a few questions about the Brady thing and has he talked to him. And he said he still talks to him a couple times a week, but they stick mostly to football. Tom's been in good spirits, and they haven't really discussed the specific issues of the follow-up procedures.
Okay, that's a good update. Speaking of talking on the phone, Brett Favre had a press conference yesterday where he denied telling the Lions. But actually, you know what? The reports were that he denied telling the Lions anything. Actually, in the press conference, he admitted.
I've always wanted to be a
Packer. Matt Millen.
The report was he denied calling them.
Right. He said that Matt Millen called him, and they talked about hunting because Matt Millen has a place in New Jersey. But that they also talked football, and they talked about what Green Bay did last year when they played the Lions. And he admitted that, but he said it wasn't a big deal. You know, it's stuff that people talk about every day. And, you know, he never called them. It's not like he had a playbook in his lap while he was talking. And, you know, so he made pretty light of it, that it wasn't a big deal. But this is contrary, though, to what he said before, which was that it was total BS. Now...
He's in spin mode.
He really is.
Backtracking.
I really think that Brett Favre is probably one of the most selfish players in the NFL. I really think so.
Could a guy have done more to damage his own legacy?
I think I always will be a Packer.
Than he has in the last year?
No, I don't think so.
It would be pretty difficult.
Well, you think about this guy. This was as close to a football god in Green Bay as you could have. You know, think about the history the Packers have. And he was right on the top of that mountain. I mean, I'd be really, really disappointed if I was a Green Bay Packer. I mean, think about it if it was Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady after 15, 14 years playing with the Patriots, you know, he's already got three. Favre only had one Super Bowl, but, you know, assuming he has at least he's got the three, maybe a couple more, and then he goes to another team and does that. I mean, I think New England fans would be out of their minds. It would, you know.
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, I don't think it's that big a deal in terms of what he told them, but the fact that he would, to me, is ridiculous.
Right, just say,
and
hey,
I know it probably goes on way more than we even know about.
Yeah. How about, hey, Matt, you know I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, no hard feelings. He doesn't have to get mad at Millen.
I think
but,
it's fine to
know,
have people talk on the phone. Yeah. Coaches do it all the time during the season, but when you start opening a playbook and giving guys specific.
There's no harm in him and Matt Millen trying, but hey, you know I can't tell you
kind
about
of like
that.
An unwritten rule.
You know, and the thing is, like, you know, he says that, you know, he wishes the best for all the guys in Green Bay and so on and so forth. If that was true, then you wouldn't even consider telling any team, let alone one in your own division, anything. You know, so.
But you know what, though, in fairness, too, if the Jets were playing the Packers this year, he would have to open up and help his new teammates out.
That I can understand. That's fine.
So that's totally different.
That's totally different.
To some degree, though, I think, you know, you have your loyalty, but your ties are cut when you leave.
Hey, your loyalty is who's paying you your check, you know, and I can understand that. But
we don't know. We don't know what he told him, so
no,
we don't really.
It was something.
Have an idea.
It was something. Believe me, you know. I mean, it didn't help him because the Packers beat the Lions.
I'll say this: the Lions had a 25-24 lead in the fourth quarter of that game. How many other games they have a lead?
Well,
in the fourth quarter?
Well, that's true.
I mean, I know they ended up getting killed, you know, but I think they threw three interceptions for touchdowns in the fourth quarter of that game.
Yeah.
Detroit. So
Maybe
he did tell them something that kept the game close for a while anyway. I don't know.
You know, do you notice, though, that this year there's a lot of, like, news coming out of the NFL and teams, but not a lot of it's good? It's all kind of negative stuff.
It's Pac-Man Jones. It's
Andy,
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, it's guys mad at their team. It's teams mad at their guys. It's
Kellen
Winslow. You know, it's all. Yes. Maybe that's all that's.
No one's happy.
This is not water.
Maybe that's all that's being reported on. You know, and the media is missing, you know, the positive stories. But it just seems like there's just a lot of negative stuff coming out of teams in the league this year. You know, you got the CBA thing coming up and. You know, Gene Upshaw dying, and it just—I don't know. It's just a lot of negative stuff.
I think the last thing you mentioned is the CBA. You know, Gene Upshaw dying.
I thought Fred was going to go, so at least some good came out.
That was really
good news out of New York.
No, but it's just
Pete Shepard flash.
Does everyone else get that same
impression? Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
But what are you looking for? Positive.
You know, young guys emerging. You know, great games. You know Other stuff, the positive stuff.
I don't think that stuff gets the headlines.
We had four or five
games
last week.
Is it just
came down
not getting
play.
The headlines?
That's what I mean. I think there's good young players making plays and good games and all that, but in the end, it's like watching the nightly news.
But
the very last thing on the show is about the
good stuff, right?
The good stuff, and the other 22 minutes are car accidents and murder.
Do you
and
find,
assault.
Though, that there's a little bit more negative stuff this year than in past years?
Not really.
No?
I think all the stuff, Fred, like the good news and all the great players and the great games, that happens every year. You get that every season. That's really not to say it's not newsworthy, but when Pac-Man Jones is punching out his bodyguard,
no, I understand.
It's going to get top priority.
I don't
Look,
know
I
if
understand
it's more.
It's all about man bites dog. You know,
right.
Dog biting man
airplane
is not a story.
Airplane lands at airport,
right.
Not news.
Right. I understand that, but it just seems there's more of that this year than usual.
See, I don't know if it's more or not, but I agree with you. It seems like it's more to me. And I would throw in this nonsense with the Ravens and the bounty on your guy, Andy, Rashard Mendenhall, and really, like, classless
Lane
kind of
Kiffin,
stuff.
Lane Kiffin, you know, the whole Raiders thing.
I think
thing.
It's the fact that three
have
coaches
more
haven't
legs.
Gotten fired already.
Right.
Midseason, when you rarely see any coaches fired midseason. You,
saved
we've gotten
one of those
three.
Cookies. Thank you.
And I think there's been more of that negative off-field stuff than we normally get. You know, like the Kellen Winslow type stuff and like, the bounty on Mendenhall and Hines Ward. I mean, come on. What is this?
Yeah.
You know, the Old West or
stories. I couldn't possibly have any less respect for Ray
Lewis. And the ironic thing
is. I think he's despicable.
This is right after.
I felt that way for a long time when he killed somebody.
Right.
Well, that's true, too. But watch what you say around Richard Seymour on that. Andy felt the brunt of that one day.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
we did a point-counterpoint on it, and I may have brought up that murder. Richard Seymour not happy.
The ironic thing about this is just after Goodell comes in and makes his, you know, sweeping statement about how he's trying to clean things up and he's going to come down harder on, you know, miscreants and all
but
that stuff.
Probably part of it too, because he said that there's an expectation it's going to move in that direction and it maybe hasn't.
Maybe.
Well, you know what part of it is too, Fred, like I was trying to say before, is that these stories just have more of a shelf life than some other stories in the past. The Lane Kiffin, Al Davis thing went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. We kept hearing reports on how this is the day he's going to get fired, so the story never really dies. I don't know if there's more negativity. I just think the negative stories aren't dying and going away. And that, to me, is the biggest thing. We're still talking about the Lane Kiffin thing.
Yeah.
And how long ago did he get fired? About a month ago?
Yeah. So, well, that's not done yet.
It's still going on. It's not done yet.
He's going to file
his... be a lawsuit, and that's going to drag out some more. And you're going to hear about it the whole season.
You know,
not
but,
necessarily more bad news, just
but
more bad news that doesn't go
you,
away.
You can almost look at every team, and every team has had some type of setback this year, whether it's, you know, firing or injuries or losing games that they're not supposed to. It's unbelievable. You know, it's really the season of, you know, whatever you want to call it, the season of hardship.
Well, that on-field stuff is because there is a lot more parity this year than we've seen the last 3 or 4 years. I think that's obvious.
Yep.
Because despite the NFL saying that there's so much competitive balance, it's usually the same 3 or 4 teams in the conference championships every single year.
Yep.
But that may not be the case now. We don't know if Indianapolis is going to even get there. New England, Dallas, those perennial teams, those perennial contenders really aren't soaring to the top right now.
That's right.
You have Tennessee at 6-0.
Yeah, there's very few teams that have escaped some type of hurdle.
Nobody's immune to it.
And we're only in week 7.
And the injuries may not be more prevalent this year, but they certainly seem to be more high-level guys. You know, and obviously none bigger than us right here, but obviously, the Manning situation has really hurt. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't all of a sudden decide he didn't know how to play quarterback anymore. I mean, I have to think, much like Brady in 06 when he was throwing to Richey Caldwell and the passing game stunk.
Right.
I didn't blame it on Brady because I had seen 4 or 5 years of pretty good evidence that it wasn't his fault. When Manning's throwing interceptions for touchdowns multiple weeks, that's at least 3 or 4 this year. He threw 2 more on Sunday against Green Bay. That's at least 3 that I know of off the top of my head. I got to think that part of this is his health. Part of it is the team is not quite as good as it's been. Like Mike said, the offensive line's been banged up. They're not a perennial power. San Diego remains in the Norv Turner, you know, the roller coaster of love that they win 2 games, lose 2 games, and somehow find a way to be like 10-6, 11-5 with the best talent in football. Who's any good?
Right.
Everybody's been affected by major injuries.
Yep.
Whether the guys are out like Brady is or just not as effective like Manning has been.
I mean, the only team.
Like LT has been. LT's been a shell of himself.
The only team I can think that lost what should have been an impact player in Vince Young has overcome that.
Right.
And actually been better than they were last year.
Because Vince Young wasn't what.
Right.
Well, certainly what Andy and I thought he was going to be. He's not. Right. Anywhere near as good as we thought.
But
the
Redskins have been unscathed. They haven't been touched yet with hurdles, and they're doing okay. You know, but look at all the other. I mean, you know, Burris had his thing with the Giants. Giants are still doing okay.
They lost at 2 ends before the season even started. One guy retires, one guy blows out his knee.
But look what's going on in Dallas. Mm-hmm. You know, you go right down the line. It's every team is
Tony Romo's
going to be out a month.
Plus,
they have
the
that circus.
Either.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out of there is a joke.
Right.
It's an absolute joke.
But that's
between the owner
and
the
players
and everything
else. That's why I think it's more prevalent. Maybe it's not. But I think there's more situations. Dallas was a joke last year, but not like this.
No, this is really out of hand.
Along those lines, strippers would like us to say that FireWadePhillips.com is up and running.
Good for
by him.
Okay.
You know what, too, Fred? Paul's right. When's the last time the reigning league MVP went down for the season in week one? Has it ever even happened before?
I don't know.
I mean, McNair, the 1 year McNair shared it, I'm sure he probably had 55 injuries the next year and never practiced, and we all heard about it. But to lose the reigning, I mean, that's the face of the NFL, or one of the faces of the NFL, going down to the first game of the season.
Yeah. Look,
it's a big blow.
Fred, Larry Johnson's talking more negativity.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, obviously it's negativity, but at least for once an athlete got up there and said, you know what? I got to take responsibility for my life. I don't like where my life and where my career are heading, and I need to do something to fix it.
Sucks.
He might be a despicable person for what he did. I'm not denying that, but at least for once, it wasn't a bad supplement or bad advice from an agent or the media blowing something out of proportion. It was Larry Johnson's not happy with himself.
He just said, I'm disgusted with myself.
Yeah.
And that I can respect that.
Now, if he doesn't do anything about it,
that's what I'm going to say. All this
talk is great. Do useless.
If he doesn't do anything about it, then that's all. You know, words, but hopefully he will. Because it has been a bad stretch.
I don't think he was hugged as a child, Larry Johnson. Does not like women too much, it seems.
Yeah, he seems to have an issue with
waving
women.
Guns, well, spitting in their faces.
It's a temper problem, and I'm sure in that incident there was alcohol involved. You know.
And the Winslow thing doesn't help. Everybody in Cleveland gets a staph infection. That place is filthy. Maybe that's where Brady got operated on.
At least six staph infections since 05?
Like
or 06? I mean, that's ridiculous.
You know, that's funny because the one thing that I remember about Cleveland Browns Stadium, one of their sponsors was one of those hand disinfectant companies because they had those dispensers all over the place. That's the one thing I remember
not in the locker
from
room,
Cleveland.
You shower in it when you walk through
the
door.
I mean, they even cleaned out that whole locker room and like had the whole bleach process to clean it all out, and it still hasn't helped.
Hmm. That dirty player.
It'd be a larger issue at play here. I mean, obviously they have the worst case of it, but, I mean, it's Manning, it's Brady, it's... Seems like, and even in high schools, they've had over the last couple seasons those different infections where they have to do just that, go in and like spray down the whole locker room. I mean, I think there's a larger problem here that we obviously don't know enough about. But in terms of infections and antibiotics,
and germs are getting stronger.
Right, that's what I mean. That there's a larger issue.
You talked about that the hand disinfectant and stuff like that, and
that's part of the problem.
That's part of the problem, believe it or not. I mean, it seems ironic, but
is that a hair gel?
They're talking a lot about the allergies with kids nowadays that is so much more prevalent than it was when we were growing up. And one of the reasons is because everybody is so antibacteria conscious now that you're not, you know, the strains are fighting harder to live and your body is not as immune to them because of all this stuff that's just doing the work for the body.
Yep.
You know, peanut allergies, you know, the MRSA that Andy was talking about with the high schools is a huge problem. I know of at least a couple. Didn't Dartmouth go through it?
Yeah,
I
mean, last year or 2 years ago.
Where they're getting it in the locker rooms in high schools. It's
We started off the show talking about Brady, and this just in. Brent from Illinois is saying that Pro Football Talk has a story from ESPN. And here's the quote. Wendy Nix of ESPN says the Patriots are upset that Brady opted not to have the surgery under the supervision of doctors of the team's choosing. Brady, per ESPN, instead chose to have the surgery performed by a doctor selected by his family. Do you guys think that this is a true story or not? I think the elements of that are true, except for maybe the upset. I don't know.
I don't know if the word upset is strong. I think it might maybe strong.
I'm sure the team would have preferred him to have it here, and I'm sure that his family recommended him over there. You know, and he chose to go with what his family recommended. But
casual, you know, Kyle dressing up for once.
The question is, you know, what's the reaction of the team? I don't know.
Dr. Phil loves me.
You know, I don't think the team would at this point leak out, oh, we're upset. It's too much 2020 hindsight. It's too much after the fact.
I don't think they want to start a pissing match.
Yeah, why would you do that?
It doesn't really benefit
right now
anybody.
All you want is the guy to get better.
Just right. Just get better in rehab and get back here in 09.
Yeah, there's no upside to saying, I told you, should have went here. There's no upside to that.
It is human nature. And my guess is they were upset before any infections took place.
Oh, yes.
They've been upset since day one.
Since he decided he was doing it.
Right.
And I will say this, too. Wendy is not, you know, one of these sensationalist kind of journalists who runs out there. When she was here at Channel 7 in Boston, she wasn't running around reporting, you know, irresponsibly, wildly. She was here the other night for Monday Night Football as part of the ESPN crew and was probably in on some of those TV production kind of meetings and maybe talked to somebody.
Well,
she is maybe got,
now she works for ESPN, and that changes you.
Well, I agree with that, Fred, but I can also tell you that she is thought of pretty highly in Foxborough.
By who?
Do I have to get specific?
I think pretty highly.
Really?
You really like her?
Overrated.
Oh, I disagree. Yeah.
Big time. Overrated.
Hugely overrated.
Oh, Mike, come on.
What?
I thought you had...
Really?
A plus on the behind, as Two Gender would say.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Got a lot of emails. We got to get to that. And, in 4 minutes?
What?
We'll take a break.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Well, it's that.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Hey, it's Christina Acra from Patriots Today, and now it's time for the Qdoba Question of the Week.
Read the rest of it.
No, I'm not saying hot naked burrito.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. And Christina, you are correct. It is time for the Qdoba Question of the Week. This is the day. And what is the question? Oh, no. We have Pete from Hoboken on the line. Pete is the first caller, and he gets the first stab at this. So Dan Tugender will give the question to Pete. Go ahead, Dan. Take it. Go.
Pete, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. All right. On yesterday's show,
We were talking about how
2008
Monday afternoon prior to Monday Night Football, Fred took somebody on a tour of the hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon. Who was that person?
It was Jaws.
Yeah! Gary, stop dancing.
Very good.
Taco Fiesta for everyone.
Oh.
Pete, you're a good listener.
This is actually my first time calling in. I've been a long time listener. But I love the show, guys.
Thank you.
So now you're from Hoboken?
Yeah, I live in Hoboken.
Fred, ask him if he ever went to Arthur's.
Yeah, you ever been to Arthur's?
I have. It's awesome.
Isn't it great? I'm telling these guys, it's awesome.
They're like as big as your face.
And it's good quality food, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, Pete, you're the winner. Stay on the line, and Gary will set you up with your 20-person buffet from Qdoba.
Great. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take
Pete
care.
From
Hoboken. Good,
good job, Pete. Okay, good.
Hey, what's wrong today?
And good job, Dan, two-gender.
Those genders?
Two-gender.
Was that a good question?
It was a good question.
Yeah.
Did you like the teabags under my eyes, though?
No, I didn't like that one.
Zobrist played right field last night.
What a joke. Once again, Baldelli sits and the Rays lose.
I'm playing the role of Fred here. Andy, what's wrong?
I don't feel good today.
Are you okay?
I think I have a brain tumor.
You've been don't joke around about stuff.
The back of my
eyeballs
hurt.
That would explain a lot.
It would, but don't joke around about stuff.
Seriously,
like that.
The back of my eyeballs hurt.
Okay.
It's not a tumor.
It could be congestion.
Sinus infection, my wife said, is possible.
It could be.
No, I get them all the time. Are they down here or is it up here?
It's up here behind my eyeballs. If I looked up and to the left, I get sharp shooting pains.
Up and to the left.
So, yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Could be an aneurysm.
What do I do?
I don't know. Maybe, take some Claritin or something? Or
I got to take something. I don't feel good.
And what are you going to do about it?
The other end's not feeling so good after that burrito I just ate.
Afrin.
Oh, Afrin?
Yeah.
That works?
It'll at least clear your sinuses for a little while.
Wait, is that a spray?
Afrin and Imodium.
I don't do sprays.
Well, never mind then.
What about that
I thought you wanted to feel better. I'm
nasal
sorry.
Nasal spray?
Yeah, nasal spray.
That's what Afrin is.
That's what Afrin is.
I don't do sprays. Yeah,
and it does work. Now, the only drawback is if you use it too much, you end up addicted.
Okay.
Like Jim Donaldson, who carries one around at all times. I'm serious. I joke with him all the time. I've never seen him without it. He'll just walk down, like in the elevator going down, and you'll just take it out, a couple of squirts.
Right.
not your kind of squirts, Andy.
What does it do for you?
It clears out the sinuses.
No, gets high as a kite.
Opens the passages.
How do you
passages.
Get it? When you get addicted to it, what is it?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't make you high or anything. I just think he feels like he probably needs it all the time.
You feel like you're congested all the time.
Oh, if you don't have it.
Yeah. You go through withdrawal.
Well, you're talking about the germs, you know.
Birth control.
You might have caught something, one of those super germs.
I hope not.
You know?
Could be in the locker room.
How long has this been going on?
Stay away from Brady's knee.
I've had a headache for 3 days now.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe you should have an MRI.
I guarantee it was the Halloween party.
Yeah, Gary
Gary had a nervous breakdown at the Halloween party.
He's never having kids, Fred. He did not like that whole atmosphere.
You were there?
Of kids running around.
I had to find somebody to talk business.
Oh.
Someone in finance?
I saw a million kids.
Someone in finance?
You saw some little girl. Hey, you want to do the anthem on Sunday?
So, Gary, when your wife gets old enough to conceive, are you going to have kids?
Yeah, we've talked about it. I drew a picture.
Oh, good. Okay. Excellent.
Slot A receives tab B.
Right. See, now we don't have to go there.
I thought that was a picture.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482.
I should probably go.
So Pete in Hoboken has won the prize.
In Hoboken.
And Andy is on his way to practice, so he'll be back and he'll let us know who is practicing and what
Andy,
they were
look
wearing.
For Sammy Morris. Okay.
Number 34.
All right.
White jersey.
So in terms of the day, Fred, there wasn't a ton going on here today. Now obviously Bill doesn't speak on Thursdays anymore, and the locker room was really quiet.
It was wretched.
Really quiet today.
Well, okay.
It's like a Friday almost.
Getting ready.
Felt like a getaway day.
Yeah.
Paul in London, England writes in, and he says, on a UK NFL website, people are discussing rookies of the year. For defensive player, people are saying either Lofton or Mayo. Someone else brought up Gary Guyton as being step-for-step with Mayo throughout the season. How was he not drafted, and do you think he is as close to Mayo as they are making out?
No. No, he's not as close to Mayo. He's a good player, but
he's a specialty player.
Mayo is a playmaker.
Yeah.
I mean, Guyton has done, a really, really nice job.
Yeah,
and he's been
one of the
really pleasant surprises of camp. We all were very impressed with him when we watched him at practice and how fast he was. And Bill mentioned how fast he was in California when we were out there. But he's a specialty player. He plays on, you know, sub-packages occasionally. Right. Gerard Mayo's a full-time every-down player for the most part. Now, lately, I think he's been getting his snaps a little bit managed a little bit more, but those guys aren't running stride for stride with each other.
Paul also has two Urban Dictionary words, one for last week and one for this week's match. And since you all like food so much, especially Paul, here are two food-related ones.
Hey.
The first one is a Denver omelet, and the second one is a Missouri milkshake. So
Denver omelet I'm familiar with. Missouri milkshake I am not.
Really?
No. I'm assuming I have an idea of what it is.
Yeah, we got to get away from the
city
name your city, state, something, you know?
Okay.
Let's get more original.
Fred's putting his foot down.
Well, he's right, because they could just take any city and put it in front of something
boring.
That begins with the same Boston letter.
Boston pancake.
Yeah. Cleveland steamer.
But those are originals. Cleveland
Cincinnati
steamer.
Cincinnati bow tie.
Cincinnati bow tie. Those are original terms. People are now just making stuff up as they go along.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying us or people in general need to get away from that?
Both of us. All of us.
What was yesterday?
I don't know.
So,
the first one had to be thrown away because even Andy decided it was too racy to say on the air.
Usually it's topical, like the person we're talking about.
I know.
Right, it was St. Louis something, snowblower.
St. Louis snowballing. Snowblowing, sorry.
Yeah.
Whoops.
That's what we ended up going with because we're playing the Rams.
Yeah, we could have like a...
You know, because we're playing the Rams on Sunday.
We could have like a dirty Gutierrez. You know? Let's see. Jason from Chiba. That's in Japan, by the way.
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently for the men from our sideline took my advice about their balls to heart. Props to me for a good win. Really, I credit myself and my hands for writing such an awesome email. It was good to see the replay.
Good. Your hands inspired their balls.
He's the one that said that.
That's a little Freddie Mitchell right there.
Should do a little gut check below the belt.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Couldn't watch the game. Thanks, Japan. No one even understood why I was anxious at work all day except the one other American guy, and he has no interest in football. By the way, props to that guy in why does he keep bringing him up?
There is a way to get some
P.S.
streaming
Eric
NFL
is a douche.
Video, by the
that's
way.
That's what he says.
Was he ripping him at least?
No.
No? That's unfortunate.
You can search the internet and find ways to get live streaming video from NFL games and Major League Baseball games.
Yeah, they
I'm
have
sure
the
illegal.
International field pass on NFL.com.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like doing it without paying for it.
Yeah.
Which is probably illegal. But nonetheless, there are ways around the code.
Let's see.
I would advise our friend to take a look and just do some searching.
John from South Carolina writes in. He says, Mike.
Yes.
I want to apologize for my original harsh comments on you being a New York homer. You are a New York homer, but you are entertaining. Listening, everyone activate your hair trigger has been fun, and you have a good job, and you do a good job in the paper. However, arguing the legitimacy of boxing is a losing fight. You may be right. Boxers may be able to beat the living crap out of every other fighting sport.
Well, that's all I need to hear then. Just stop there.
The problem is you are arguing the legitimacy of boxing. Boxing is a sport created to allow gambling. Nothing can legitimize boxing. So UFC may not be as legitimate as boxing, but in the eyes of the average sports fan, that means nothing. This does not make the average sports fan a Neanderthal. It just means they have no interest in the sport. It has nothing to do with the sport, but the perception of all professional fighting sports, nothing personal.
Well, I think I understand his point, but that's not the argument we're making about the legitimacy of boxing as a sport outside the ring. I'm talking about the fighters and the physical legitimacy of the sport inside the squared circle. They are more sophisticated fighters.
Okay. Squared circle, Freddie.
Yeah, the squared circle.
That's the
like I told people
sweet
yesterday.
Science.
You want to watch a real fight and you want to watch somebody get dismantled, watch Kelly Pavlik versus Bernard Hopkins. Watch what Bernard Hopkins did to Pavlik for 12 rounds. That's fighting. That's not kicking somebody in the shin and rolling around on the ground for 10 minutes until he taps out.
I am a hockey fan, says John. No matter how great I think the sport is, I cannot argue it is popular. It's not. I can say it is more popular than college field hockey, but it does not make the sport popular. As far as football, happy with the defense. Castle still needs to make better reads, but he's improving. Getting worried about our running backs. At the end of the season, we may only have Falk, and since Falk's skills are diminishing so fast, he will have to play in a wheelchair. I cannot remember which
good
one of you guys
right
made the Falk prediction. Figured it was about time to bring it back up.
Andy.
That was Andy. We jumped all over him.
It's funny how
time.
He went from diminishing skills to ageless veteran.
Right.
No. Falk is, has, you know, if you want to look at consistency this year so far.
It's maybe his best year.
In a year of inconsistency, Falk has been consistent.
You pretty much know what you're going to get with Falk, and he gives that to you every time.
Yep.
There's really nothing else you can ask for. You can't ask him to be Walter Payton. Yep. He's not Walter Payton. So you ask him to be Kevin Falk, and he's always Kevin Falk.
Yep. Web radio at Patriots.com. ESPN is just really, they're going the cycle on this Brady thing. They just keep covering
well,
this.
Well, it's kind of
it's
big
replayed,
news,
I
Fred.
Think, too, Fred.
I mean, this is a replay, but this is,
it is
I
a
mean,
big
it's kind
deal,
of
though.
Big news.
The face of the NFL.
Just like when they found out the Peyton Manning second surgery, that was big news for a, you know, for a time
no,
there,
I,
too.
I agree, it's big news, but I wish somebody would clear it up a little bit. What do you got?
Missouri milkshake.
We can't read
I don't
that,
think Gary's going to let me read that.
No, that was just for your FYI. Oh.
There's no actual expletives in the definition.
No, but it's the act. That we
I like the
we
sentences
can't.
They put to use the word in a sentence.
Yeah,
like, John totally gave me the Missouri milkshake last weekend. It's just funny. I won't read the rest of that.
Jonas writes in, I'm not sure if you guys covered this back after week one, but do you think Bill Belichick ever fills out another injury report without Tom Brady right shoulder squarely at the top? I could see him persistently trying to submit injury reports with Brady listed all throughout March and April just for good luck. So what Jonas is pointing out, it was ironic that the first time that they did something different with Brady on the injury report, he's out for the season.
It's called karma.
It was, from the, was it the 05 postseason, I think it was, the last time that he wasn't listed with the right shoulder.
Yep.
It didn't start before 05?
No, there was, in the postseason, there was nobody listed on the injury report at all.
Oh, okay. I'm talking about Brady right shoulder
specifically.
Wasn't that back toward the McNair days in Tennessee in 03?
Yeah, that's when it started, but then he wasn't listed at all.
Okay, on 05, yeah.
I think it was 05. It
I might
have been
right,
06.
Yeah.
It might have been 04. I don't know.
Right, though. It was one of those
It was one
games.
Of the postseason all of a sudden. I think I want to say it was 05 because I think it coincided with Denver, and I think it was a tweak because Denver goes the other way. And Shanahan has had just as much problems with the injury report as Belichick has. Shanahan's solution, quote unquote, to get around it is he puts everybody on it. There's 20 guys on it every week, and that's his little middle finger to the league. And Bill's is, I'm just going to keep on doing what I do, and you can't stop me. And they both kind of have been at loggerheads with the league over the whole thing, and they're both right, by the way, because
I agree.
The injury report is stupid.
It is useless.
Well, when you say it's stupid, what do you mean by that?
It has
it's
no purpose, of no value whatsoever. There is nothing that can be gained by making teams fill out injury
reports. But
reports.
It's about the gamble.
And it doesn't prevent any of that.
Right, but it does no benefit to the league.
But the spirit
or
of
the
it,
teams.
The spirit of it is to not allow injury information
if you can find
to
me
become
empirical,
valuable.
If you can provide me empirical evidence where these injury reports don't make injury information valuable, then I will believe you.
Okay, but that's the spirit of it.
I just assume now that it's all false. That's what I do.
And that's what everybody else does, too.
Exactly. Nobody's fooled by it anymore, so just get rid of it.
So in other words, that's not preventing anybody, any gamblers. That, well, he's on the injury report, so.
Yeah. This guy's on the report.
They're still trying to glean their information
from
other ways.
Exactly.
Not the injury report.
They get sources. They get other people to give them the information. They don't use that piece of paper.
So you say get
him. People like, he who shall not be named, just make it up.
So you think they should do away with the injury report?
I do.
Yes.
No more injury report.
I do, but we've argued about this for 5 years. I think it's stupid.
Until you can prove what's on there,
no need
accurate,
to go in that one again.
There's no point for it.
Do you think it's valuable?
I think injury info would become more valuable if there wasn't an injury report. Now
I don't.
I do. Oh, I absolutely do.
The only way to get around it is to give reporters access to the entire practice,
right?
So they can report who's not out there.
I would say that,
and that's as far as you can go.
I would say that by doing what they're doing, they're decreasing the value of injury information by 70%.
But how can you say that? Do you know anybody who takes anything on the injury report with any level of seriousness?
Let's face it. Look, most of the time, if a guy's doubtful, he's not playing. Okay?
I don't agree with that.
Not true.
Oh, no. It's absolutely true because...
Well, I don't agree with it.
What do you mean you don't agree? That's a fact.
Like I said at the start of this, I didn't want to get into another argument because we have the same argument all the time.
If you
can show me the numbers where your stuff is fact, then I'll admit I'm wrong. I don't know that's the fact.
Most of the time when a guy is listed as doubtful, he doesn't play.
And what are the percentage of guys listed on an injury report that are listed as doubtful?
I'm just saying when
minuscule.
They, no, but when they are listed as doubtful, they don't play. Okay.
If I can give you examples, more than one example, just this year of a guy listed as doubtful that played, then what will you say?
That's still most of the time that you give me one example.
I said more than one example.
Well,
wasn't Lawrence Maroney doubtful for a game this year and he played?
No, was Jordan was.
Jordan was. I'm sorry.
Jordan was doubtful for a game. And he may have been upgraded the day of the game. He was doubtful all week. Maybe they upgraded him to questionable. I think he was doubtful.
Now, what was that one week? And that might have been the playoff game where they were all doubtful the whole week and then upgraded the last day before. Does that ring a bell?
I just say I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody in football, and Bill certainly would agree with me.
Yes.
Because he says it all the time.
Of course.
That looks at those injury reports and puts any sort of.
You think, Fred, anybody has ever over the last 6 years?
But I think that if you know, and this is obviously you can't achieve this, but if every coach was absolutely certain that every other coach was being 100% accurate, then they would all, you know, disclose what is going on.
Yeah.
But they don't trust each other.
I don't trust anybody.
I agree with that. That being the reason why you can't do it.
Right.
Because you couldn't trust each other.
No, there's too much paranoia in this league because of that report.
Because Bill and Shanahan would still do what they do while everybody else is doing.
But despite that, though, I don't think the league can stop trying to get it right. They have to, because otherwise, I mean, you're going to have moles, and this information is going to become really a competitive advantage.
But what I don't understand is what is in place to prevent that from happening now.
Because you may not know the degree of an injury, but at least you know that guys are injured.
But so it's to prevent the gamblers from poking around. You don't want the gamblers poking around or the players to get inside information.
I know that they still do.
But that's what I'm saying. But it's not really helping.
But the information they're getting isn't as valuable, you know, this
way.
To
me it is. To me, if you have accurate information, that's valuable.
I think it is, but
and this is inaccurate information. So I don't think any gambler worth his salt is going to take anything that he sees on injury reports for real.
I think 70% of the info you see on injury reports is accurate.
I don't.
70%.
I think that's a stretch.
Okay. I mean, I'm not just talking about here.
I'm talking league wide too. Every coach is paranoid.
Average. Every coach. I mean, Herm Edwards has the trainer come out and give press conferences about injuries, you know? So he's the other extreme.
Yeah, some guys are very forthcoming about injuries,
right,
and some coaches aren't.
I know.
So who do you trust?
I don't, maybe...
If you're a coach, you assume nobody.
You know, it's a real tough one, and I can see why Belichick gets frustrated with it and why he scoffs at it, because, you know, it's so hard to enforce. You can't make it a rule that every trainer comes out and talks about every guy's injury. It just... That doesn't make any sense.
No, I don't think the league should do anything to make them do it. I don't think that either. I think that would be a step the wrong way.
All right. Well, I do think that injury information is valuable.
I do too.
You know? And so you have to minimize that value somehow. Or, you know, every guy cleaning the towels now is going to be, you know, someone that can make extra money on the side by helping out these gangsters.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You can't do that.
I just want to know why that guy collecting the towels wouldn't want to do that now.
He might. You know, I'm sure there are some doing it. You know, I never rule out anything. You know, when somebody says, oh, you can't fix games, I'm not buying it. There's a way to do anything.
I think in a way it actually makes it easier for him, because now the gamblers know the guys to target. Okay, mm-hmm. Hey.
How bad is that?
Mike, Lamont Jordan's on the list as doubtful with a calf. Is he really out? Oh, no. He's probably going to play. You know the guy to ask about.
Exactly.
Mike from Pensacola. My question is on Steven Neal. Speaking of people who are injured, do you believe that he will regain his starting spot this week against the Rams? I know that Billy Yates has filled in to the best of his ability, but he just is not a starting lineman in this league. Also, how is Vince Red doing? What are the chances that he sees some playing time this year? And Gary, can you make the great moments of PFW in progress with that first email that Steven from the Isle of Man sent and Andy's comment on how that is Eric's dream? It is too funny not to be one of those. Thanks, guys, and congrats to Paul on making the Boston University Baseball Hall of Fame.
Jesus.
See, now I talk to Andy, I feel like I'm getting sick.
Yeah, you all right?
He spread those germs from across the table.
Yeah.
All right.
There's probably a lot of germs in this room.
I think Stephen Neal could be a starter this week. It seems like they're trying to work him back in slowly but surely.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance, I think, that he probably gets that back this week. If not, then I would say next week. But either way, I think Yates has been okay. Now, he didn't have a great game the other night, and I don't think he's been great, but he's filled in pretty well. I don't think that's been a major problem. But Neal is better. Neal's a a really, really athletic guard, and I think that he's a very good run blocker, and I love him when they do the screen passes and get him out in front. I think he's just scary athletic for a guy that size.
Yeah, an awkward pause after I love him.
I love him.
And I love him.
It's not like
they get him out there on screen plays.
It's not like Rodney. Come on.
No, I know. You're Rodney Love. You're a Rod Gobbling.
Have you heard from Rodney at all?
No, he hasn't called Fred. Not in a gay way, of course. Okay. His second ball was every bit as majestic.
Phil from Salt Lake City. If Brady's knee continues to be further complicated, do you think we will see O'Connell as a prep for the future? Maybe around week 12, we are losing ground on a wild card chance. Would seeing O'Connell be a sign that Brady's knee really is not in good shape?
No, it'd be a sign of them wanting to see what they have in their fourth-round draft pick. Sure. It's independent of what Brady is doing off the field.
Yeah, I agree with Mike. I think if you see him later in the year, it's a sign that Bill probably thinks they're not going to make the playoffs and he's looking for the future.
All right.
And they're already grooming him as a potential replacement.
And I don't think that's going to happen because I think they're going to be in the playoff race at the very least all the
way through.
They're
going to be in the race.
They're going to ride
this
out. Yes. You know, you're going to win a couple that you probably don't expect to win, and you're probably going to lose some like the Miami game that you don't expect to lose.
Yep.
Ride it out.
Ride it out.
Russell from the OC says, blame that Brazilian bimbo. It doesn't take a genius to know that you only get boob jobs, facelifts, and Botox in Los Angeles. Anything else should be done in Boston or New York. We now could be looking at game 8 or 9 next year or 2010. Who was the quack that did this procedure? This is not looking good. The most shocking thing was Wendy Nix's comment on ESPN this morning calling St. Thomas a pigskin, a possible Hall of Famer. Hot chicks are mostly stupid. If he doesn't get in, no quarterback should ever get in. Finally, is this Favre, the most overrated quarterback in history, thing worse than Spygate garbage? If this was Brady or Belichick in the Patriots, the media would have a field day. A clear double standard. Love the show.
Are you paying attention to what they're doing to Brett Favre? They're killing him.
I know. The guy's not getting lauded for his
calling Matt Millen. It was pretty much Pro Football Talk that forced ESPN into having to cover the story.
No, I understand that.
But the public reaction is not positive.
It's also apples and oranges. What Brett Favre did is not illegal.
Right.
Right.
He's just a dirtbag.
It's unethical.
He's just a dirtbag.
Yeah.
You know, it's just out of spite. But there's no rule that says you can't do that.
I don't believe it's the same thing.
It's not comparable to Spygate at all.
No, it's not a double standard. But ESPN.
But I think he's getting killed nationally.
He is. Yeah.
I mean, now you might be right. Florio called everybody out on it and called ESPN in particular out, because I think that's the silliest thing that came out of this whole thing is that ESPN put a memo out and said, do not report on this story. I mean, that's laughable.
Well, they didn't have any room on SportsCenter with their top 10 playoff beard list, you know, or something stupid that they run up there every day.
You know, you wonder if
I just watched that right now behind you. Top 10 notable playoff, or no, top 10 notable beards and featuring Kimbo Slice.
You wonder if ESPN
already has
some type of
he's got issues.
Report the news.
I'm telling you, it's just that chair.
You wonder if ESPN might already have some type of verbal contract with,
with
Favre,
Favre
after his playing
games. Yes. What, to get plays? Phoned in from the booth?
To gobble? Sorry.
Let's see.
I didn't use the first word.
Matt from Connecticut says, do you think the fact that it wasn't Harrison's knee that got hurt, that it improves his chances of coming back next year? And do you think St. Louis is that much better than they were a couple weeks ago, or did they just get lucky for a couple games? Talk about, obviously, Rodney Harrison.
They say the quad tear is just as severe in terms of recovery time.
Yeah. They're listing it as eight to 10 months, they're saying.
Yeah.
I don't know how accurate that is, but it also – they listed the injury originally, the Patriots did, during the game as
knee.
And Andy pointed out that probably means the quad was way down low toward the knee and maybe –
yeah,
did some damage down there, too. I just look at it as I think if he had played every game this year, chances are he wasn't going to come back next year either.
Right.
So I can't imagine that he's going to come back. Now, this doesn't mean anything because it happened at the heat of the moment. But in doing the TV stuff yesterday with the Kraft Sports people, Freddie, for Patriots Today, one of their photographers, Matt Johnson, actually shot him going all the way down the tunnel. And he said to the guy, I don't even know who it was that was next to him on the card. He said, that's it. I'm done. Now, it just happened, too. So I don't want to say he's made the decision. He's not coming back. He said so. It happened 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes earlier.
Right.
You know, he was speaking probably emotionally and knowing what he had ahead of him.
Yeah.
Maybe 3 weeks from now he thinks
he probably thought it was a knee, too.
Right.
You know, who knows?
That could be, too. Yeah, you're right.
Matt from Connecticut also says, P.S. Mike still sucks, but Paul doesn't suck anymore. So, Paul, you're off the suck list.
Thanks, Matt. That's Mr. Sienna guy, right? Yeah, I emailed him back yesterday.
Yeah.
Why does Matt hate me again?
Well, I think you're just a hateable individual.
No, but I thought there was something specific.
It could be a number of things.
Right.
Really.
They're really very exciting could be a number to of things, watch. Fred.
Yeah.
It could be a number of things.
Thanks.
Jeff from you finally caught with that one.
No, I think he's a little incredulous. I'm saying it could be. Fred's right.
Right, yeah.
I'm with you, Fred.
Jeff from Moncton, New Brunswick. You were talking about ways to get the TV for the the NFL games.
Right.
He says Justin.TV. Usually has some people who stream NFL games. Monday night, there was two streams with the Pats-Broncos game.
Right. See, there's a lot of shitty stuff out there where people are just streaming video. I see it. I've done it before at boxing. Pay-per-view boxing.
Shady way to do something in boxing? I don't believe it.
No.
I like to mention it here on the show so then the NFL shuts them down.
Boy, Fred.
Because the NFL is monitoring our show.
Oh, yeah, they are. They're listening.
Just so you know, if they were.
Joe Brown's listening.
There'd be no more show.
They're waiting for the time to pounce. And then they're going to shut us down.
Andy Hart's back.
Andy's back. How's the head?
It still hurts.
Still hurts.
But it is very nice out.
Is it?
Beautiful, bright, sunny day.
Really?
A little chilly, but nice.
Crisp.
Crisp, yes. A brisk fall day. The team is on the field, Fred, in shells, helmets, and sweatpants.
Not banging again.
Right. And I'll go over the guys not seen on the field, and we were sort of right in not reading too much into full participation in a walkthrough yesterday because Lewis Sanders, not out there. Lamont Jordan, not out there. Sammy Morris, not out there. Eric Alexander, not out there. Nick Kazier, not out there. Jarvis Green, not out there during the, as always important, 15-minute media viewing period.
The media portion of practice.
And we have some black jerseys to announce. And apparently on the first play of practice last week, Matt Gutierrez must have hit his hand on somebody's helmet and then done a great job the rest of the week simulating Jay Cutler because he has a black number 7 jersey on. Sam Aiken, black number 88 jersey.
Aiken to contribute.
And then a trio of practice squatters led by, of course, the developing outside force, Vince Red, and Tyson DeVry and Titus Adams.
Well, that's good because we just had an email wondering how Vince Red was doing, and we don't get a chance to see him. He's only on the practice squad, and we don't get to see a whole lot of practice. But there's an indication that obviously at least they had one very good week of practice because he did his job helping out the team prepare for the Broncos.
So other than that, not much exciting to report. They worked on some plus 50-type punting with the Gunners trying to down the ball inside the 5-yard line.
Was Hanson stretched. Punting him halfway deep in the end zone as usual?
No, he was not, which was rare.
We talked about injuries before, and Todd says the league needs to have 32 observers paid by the league to watch every practice and sign off on the injury report and watch for players on IR practicing. Well, they do. The teams do need to submit film now of practices, right?
Now, how does that work? Is it they must submit it or upon request they must submit it?
Maybe it's an audit thing. Maybe it's, subjective. I don't know.
I would I'd be happy to serve as that role for this team.
The observer?
Sure.
That would be all you
just
do,
watch
though.
Practice.
You'd be the team rat. That would be good. You'd be really beloved around here.
I'm hated already, so what does it matter?
I was gonna say, how much more hated can he be?
Yeah, what does that pay? I mean, it's a league job. It's going to pay decent.
You get
I get a pension?
You get $10 a week at the pro shop.
Plus your 30%
off. Oh, so my sweatshirt
means I can buy absolutely nothing.
$10? Okay.
Flanders is the only useless person here.
I have to say, though, I was at the Patriots Pro Shop, the new Patriots Pro Shop, on floor one of the hall at Patriot Place.
Presented by Raytheon.
And the selection there is enormous.
Yeah.
Yes.
They got a lot of stuff.
They still have that couch against the wall, that Patriot couch.
I didn't go. Maybe. I didn't.
Surprisingly, yes.
Yeah.
Still have those
no
beach towels.
No one wants a big blue couch
midgets
with a Patriot logo on the back of it.
But, I mean, they have a lot of stuff in there. It's really. When they say the largest selection of Patriots merchandise anywhere, they're not kidding.
You know, you don't actually take that couch out of the store.
Oh, it's not for sale?
No, it's for sale, but you order it and it's shipped to you.
Oh, it's a floor
model. You don't get that one.
Well, eventually, you get that one for like 70% off because
Paul said it.
Yeah, why
can't if I just wanted that times. One? Why can't why can't I have that one?
I was going to say some fat guy, and just Paul rolled off the tongue.
Oh, see now?
I don't know why you...
Word association, fat guy, Paul.
You're such an ugly little man.
But if you're in the area and you're looking for some early holiday shopping, you're going to get it off your list.
I have a discount, everybody's getting Patriot gear for Christmas this year.
Is that what you're getting?
I don't care if you like them or not.
Yeah, I got to get some stuff over there myself.
Yeah?
Nieces and nephews and whatnot.
My whole family is really Patriot fans, so it works out well.
My mother's birthday today.
What's happy
birthday,
birthday,
Mrs. Perillo?
What's her name?
I'll see her tonight.
Ginger. Oh,
like
wow.
That? That's good, huh?
As Fred said, there's a number of reasons why people hate you. No, that's not okay. Mothers aren't in the game.
Yeah, no.
Nor are wives.
Fred, they're building a cranberry bog out here somewhere?
Yes.
For West Welker.
Ocean Spray is teaming up with the Patriots right in the plaza there. And they're going to right in the middle of the plaza.
They're digging a hole in the ground?
No, it's raised.
I was assuming they're building on top of the ground. I assume they're building something around it.
Ocean Spray has teamed up with the Patriots to build a cranberry bog in the plaza at Patriot Place. Wes Welker is their official spokesman or farmer.
And they have
it. Better not build it too deep.
Honorary bog grower.
They have a truck out back, an old-fashioned pickup truck that has stacks of cranberry crates in the back now. I think that was for the
photo.
Now,
Gary, you're in charge of this, right?
No.
Oh, but what's going to happen?
Once they create
the bog, what are they going to do?
Harvest cranberries?
No. Grow cranberries?
You're not in on these meetings?
Just said no.
Don't you work for marketing?
Barely.
Okay.
Hey, do you walk around in a bog with big high boots on, or is that just grapes?
Only when it's flooded.
Oh, bog, yeah.
That's
absolutely.
A bog, right?
Yeah, sure.
But it's not wet all the time. They grow them, and then they flood it to harvest them.
Right.
It just looks disgusting.
That's where we used to play hockey on the Cape. We played
in a bog?
Cranberry bogs.
You told us.
Yeah.
Yes, I remember when you told that story.
I never heard that one, so go ahead.
Shut the hell up.
Parenti.
Let's
what
see.
Did I miss?
We had a good discussion about how fraudulent injury reports are
and stuff like that.
Some emailer hates my guts.
Somebody's at the door.
Hi, this is Eddie Mack. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Directory Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. What the hell are you guys up to now?
I love it. Do more of Eddie Mack.
Gary gave my choice of two, and I went with the second one because it describes pretty much my entire life. And the phrase is gamble gas. That's gamble gas.
Okay, all right.
That's, you know,
and topical,
to
Freddy.
Right.
When it's a gamble to pass gas.
Oh, that's definitely
maybe a
for
solid,
Andy.
A liquid, or a gas.
That's definitely for you, Andy.
It's like chemistry class. Maybe a solid, a liquid, or a gas.
All right. Alden writes in, Paul, yesterday you compared yourselves to the guys at the Big Show and said something like, quote, I know we are homers, but those guys are homer central. Trust me, my friend, but with the obvious exception of Fred, I don't think a single one of you guys are homers.
Well, thanks.
And I think you almost always do a great job of being objective and not getting too high or too low on any one thing. It's actually funny. I tuned in on Tuesday, all excited to hear what you guys thought about the Pats' big win, and accepting Fred, of course. After about 30 minutes of listening, I almost felt we had lost. Paul, if I were to summarize your first 15 minutes or so, it would be Cutler hurt his finger, which opened the door for the Pats to win. Just kidding. I know you don't think that was the only reason the Pats won. Don't get me wrong. I do appreciate the more critical approach you guys have towards talking about the Pats. And overall, I think in conjunction with Fred's homerism, which more than balances out the rest of you, the show manages to find a good balance between focusing on both positives and negatives week in and week out. And that is really, to me, what makes the show so good. WEEI can't even hold your jock straps in this regard. Wow.
And Mike actually has one because he went all out for his Halloween costume
right.
and bought a jock strap to go as a football player.
That might be the best email we ever got.
That was a very uncomfortable night wearing an athletic supporter.
I still can't believe you're not
Eric's
doing
here.
The Rocky thing.
I just don't feel like it's going to be too cold.
Eric,
I'm going to wear shorts and a robe all night.
That looks like a very comfortable sweater that you have.
Sure is.
Have you had it for a long time?
Yeah.
You can tell that
long
too.
Long time.
Well, that does. An oversized sweater.
He doesn't have any stains on it, though, like you would, Fred.
I don't wear sweaters anymore.
Nah, it doesn't matter what I was talking about.
Why
there
not?
Would be a stain on it if you were wearing
true.
It for a long time.
I don't know. Sweaters, I don't like anything that I have to pull over my head. It's just a lot of trouble.
Kind of like me.
You know, it's just too much work. You know?
It's too much work to
put a
pullover on?
Yeah, I mean, if you want it, if you're getting
warm. The
work
is when you get down to the belly.
You want to take the sweater off, you got to pull it up. I don't like that. I'd rather unzip or unbutton.
Mm-hmm. You hardly ever button.
I was
going to
say, it's a one button.
Normally, I was going to say, isn't it the same amount of work, but not for Fred because he doesn't button it up.
See, that's the exact opposite. When I have my button-down shirts, I only undo like one button, and then I pull it off over the top.
That's not good.
No, that's not good at all.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
It's just not good.
Because I get sick of doing the stupid buttons.
So you're really lazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Christina says hello, by the way.
Christina?
Acra.
Oh, good. Tell her I return the hello.
To everybody, not just to you, Fred.
What do
you
said, don't tell Fred.
What do you
She wants back on the show.
What are you, in
the
seventh grade?
She didn't say that. No, she just said, tell everyone
I
said hi.
Why don't you pass a note to Eric that
tell when a woman
you can send
it.
Back to her? She wants Fred. Fred.
What?
I can tell when a woman wants it?
I did not say that. I said I can tell she wants to be back on the show.
Oh.
It's a lot of fun here.
She didn't say
there
that.
Is a lot of fun
she
here.
Didn't say
actually,
that.
No means yes.
She's like, where are you going? I said, I'm heading over to radio. She's like, oh, tell him I said hello.
She liked Lori Baranski. She enjoyed the stint Baranski. That she had on the show with it was you guys, right? You and Andy?
Yeah.
It was she mainly said, Fred and her. I just was quiet over here in the corner.
Well, she really enjoyed it then, Fred, so I guess the kudos go to you. She said it was a lot of fun.
Was it good for you, Fred?
She's a fun-loving person. By the way, she's got a website, ChristinaAcra.com.
Yeah.
It's very professionally done. I don't know who created it for her.
Sure, with respect to a XXX site.
It's a really good
very
site.
Very professionally done. Tasteful.
No,
it's like a resume site, right?
Yeah, exactly.
With clips and stuff, yeah.
ChristinaAcra.com. It's a well-done site. I'd put it right up there with TomBrady.com.
No, I'm not saying hot naked burrito.
By the way, did you guys go to TomBrady.com?
No.
I've not been.
Andy no interest.
I did.
Nobody went.
Andy did.
I thought it was fine. I didn't really spend much time.
I don't
like
the music. I don't like it when you go on a website and they start playing music.
What was the music?
I had my speakers down.
It was some kind of like, you know, funky type music.
Funky hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like have a funky, funky Christmas.
But I don't need that. If I want music, I'll play music. Don't. You know,
I want like buffalo chicken. I'll just have buffalo chicken.
Like
well,
the
I agree
other
with
night
on
when
that.
You had your music.
Don't
playing.
Force my music. Well, what did you think about that?
What, we the do music, the over, the music that you played the other night.
We do the overnights, and it's like 4 a.m.
I kind of enjoy
sometimes
it.
I just put some music on to stay awake.
And that's what I call music volume 5.
But that,
I liked it.
That
I thought it was great.
No, that playlist was dedicated to Paul.
Yeah,
that was a great playlist.
That's a Paul playlist.
I want more of that next overnight. By the way,
you had some Earth, Wind, and Fire going.
No,
but it was a lot of dance stuff.
A lot of dance.
Can
stuff
I bring in Earth, Wind, and Fire's
boom,
greatest
boom.
Hits?
Let me say, hey, hey. Right.
I have Mark.
And then I had
Deep and Now.
What else did I have? No, it was all. It was.
It was all 90s techno
pump
and R&B
jam,
pop.
Pump the Jam. And
oh, so you had ESPN Jock Jams going?
Stuff like
it
that.
It sounded
stuff,
like he was doing like that, but he was just doing it on his own, putting together his
how
own.
About,
and he had it on ridiculously loud.
Well, and he's got a good does. Sound system.
Yeah,
that,
we
like,
had that.
There's one.
The walls
are vibrating.
Yeah. You have like a Bose or something in there?
No. That's old. That we've had. That was, I inherited that from Bob Doyle.
And every time you walk by Fred's office, he'd be looking at you and he'd be bobbing his head.
And there was no music playing.
Oh.
See now. Where'd you just come from, Eric?
Upstairs. I was working.
What are you doing?
Working on this week's feature.
Which is?
Halloween.
Fred's going to love this
memories.
One.
Halloween memories.
From Foxborough.
3 pages.
So you went by and you asked players.
Going from locker to locker asking guys what their favorite costume was, favorite memory. Weirdest thing
getting
they ever
some
got
good
in their
ones,
bag.
Right?
Well, we don't
very good ones.
We don't want to give away any secrets, but give us one that was good.
Wes Welker.
Yes.
Was very good.
I can't believe he wasn't Spider-Man.
I mean, Spider-Man.
I can't believe that. He wasn't.
No, really?
No, he was not.
Well, he would have been
old.
I know,
it's a joke.
Oh, okay.
His costume was very, I won't give it away, but it was very unique and very disgusting at the same time.
Very unique
and very disgusting.
Was he covered in grease by any chance?
No, he wasn't, but that would have been a good costume.
You're never going to catch me.
Given what we
can you email that to James on the website?
Yes.
So that everybody would know what we're talking. Because it really is accurate.
It's hard
but
to talk about
many
it.
I'll send him a picture, too, of the character.
Yes.
And
because
put
it really
screen.
Is Wes Welker.
So
and
in fact,
unique.
I have a picture of the two characters in the same pose.
Yes.
That's
a great
switch
screen.
What you need to send
I'll
to
make
James.
That tonight, and I'll do it for James. I had never heard of anyone using this costume before.
And he claims that people recognized what it was, and he actually added to it. It came
so
as
unique
a,
and disgusting. He was an albino leper's penis. No, that wasn't it.
I was thinking because he had never seen it used.
That's
before.
Albino.
I was going condom.
Oh. Hurts more coming from you,
he's got
Paul.
It's your penis, and he's drunk a lot.
All Were right. there any egging stories?
No, but there was one very similar to it. One player talked about getting into snowball fights on Halloween because where he was from, it snowed on more than one Halloween occasion. And they would go house to house, and people would open the door, and they'd get hit with a snowball.
We have Sarah players Palin? From Alaska? Yeah, I was going to say.
No, and it wasn't in a state where you would think there'd be snow, but...
Starting in January, we're going to lay more pipe.
Let's hope so.
I was always very political. I remember one Halloween, my mother actually gave me eggs and shaving cream and told me to go hit these certain political signs that are on people's lawns.
Nice. Started at an early age.
Yeah, we did it, of course.
I'll say it again. Is this the man?
So, all right.
Is this
well,
the man?
We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to do our picks. Because it's Thursday.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby showers. For my son's graduation party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Eric's had a tough time opening up on PFW in Progress. They begged and pleaded and still nothing. Come on, Eric.
No, not in the last 2 days, no. I was not talking about that. I don't care. No, I'm not talking to you about this.
We're wondering if it's just on the radio or if it's the same deal upstairs. We've placed our hidden microphones in Eric's cube to get the scoop. Let's listen in.
Hey, Eric, I'm going to grab lunch. You want anything?
Sorry, no.
I'm not talking about it.
Hey, Eric, do you know when Belichick's press conference is?
Don't worry about that. We're not going into that territory.
Hey, Eric, my internet seems to be down. Is yours working?
There's a moratorium on that issue.
Hey, did you watch the Idol final? I can't believe David Cook won.
No.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
I'm not doing it with you, no.
Hey, Eric, did you do the blitz today?
I said too much. That part I'm not going to talk about.
Eric, $4.09 a gallon. Can you believe these gas prices?
Enough, both of you. Enough.
Hey, Eric, make sure you tell your friends to check out the new edition of Patriots Today.
What the hell are you doing?
Oh, my God, Eric, he's choking. Do the Heimlich maneuver.
No, not at all.
Thank you for calling Gillette Stadium. How may I direct your call? All right, Eric, take it easy. Have a good night.
No, I'd have to say no.
Whoa, well, all right, Eric. We'll see what happens on the next show.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Why do we have to go on the air and make a big deal about it?
All right. Welcome back to PFW in Progress. It's that time of the day on Thursday when we go around the NFL and do our picks. My prediction this week is everyone is going to do very, very well straight up, but we're going to have trouble with the spread. Anyway, before...
Except for you.
No, I think it's going to be...
Fred, the days of you having trouble with the spread are long over.
No, how did we do last week?
We did reasonably well again. Mike, Fred, and I didn't want to say me because I know that really offended Mike last week.
Well, you're the grammar police, not me.
I'm not the grammar police, Mike.
Yes, you are.
Do you know how many mistakes I miss per week?
I know.
10-4. Eric, 9-5. Andy, 7-7. With the spread... Mike and Fred, 9-5. Eric and Paul, 7-7. And Andy, 6-8. So, season standings as we speak.
You really may have a tumor, huh?
Fred, 70-32.
70. Oh, man.
Second place is Eric, 63-39. Andy, 62-40. Paul, 61-41. Mike, 57-45. Which is really bad.
That is bad.
You're 70-32 against the spread?
No. That's overall.
That's outright.
But he's not much worse against the spread, which Fred is still dominating 64-35-3.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
Well, I can now because he doesn't lose.
He could go like 0 for 2.5 weeks and still be 500.
Now, with the spread, I am in second
place. I wonder
what
the record is.
Well, that's it.
He just got cocky. It just came to an end.
I mean, like, worldwide. Like, what's the best worldwide anyone ever did in a season?
Picking every
the
game. 100%.
Worldwide.
You think somebody. I don't think that's.
No,
there's always some geek during the NCAA Tournament Challenge who picks every freaking game.
Right. Like some old lady somewhere or something.
Well, don't they do that every year?
Yeah.
And no one ever wins.
No, there's been cases.
They give out a million, though, don't
they? Yeah, but I don't know that anyone's ever won it, but there's documented people who have had perfect.
Perfect grids.
It's insane.
Yeah. Well, Fred has been close to perfect, I think, as you can get. 64-35-3. I am in second at 55-44-3. That means second place to you, Fred, is 9 games behind.
Well, you know, anything can happen. It's a long season.
Third place is Eric, 52-47-3. Then we go to Mike at 49-50-3. And Andy, 45-54-3.
Well, but, right where I want to be at this point.
But what Andy does is average against the spread.
That's pretty low.
For this group.
I mean, 9 games below 500.
For this group. But you look at those guys, like I say it every week, you look at those guys in the paper, and none of them are above 500.
Even those morons in Vegas, most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nice.
And they are morons.
Well, some more than others, particularly ones that used to be on the show.
Yes.
That's right.
It's been a while.
Captain Subtlety over there.
Yeah, losing the subtlety. My goodness.
All right, so let's...
When have I ever made a subtle shot?
We're into week 8 now.
It is what it is.
You're as subtle as Andy.
Of the NFL season. Week 8, and this is the week
Wade
that...
Wade Phillips going to get fired. That's the only thing I ever agreed with that guy on,
Oh, that's going to kill strippers if he gets fired. That website becomes useless.
He'll fire take Wade over Phillips. The defensive play calling. Oh, that'll solve the problem.
Jerry, it trickles down from the top. I'm sorry.
I agree.
Let's start off with Oakland at Baltimore.
Ravens by 7, Andy.
Ravens by 7. I will take the Ravens to win, but I'll take the points. I don't think the Ravens are going to score a lot, and I'll say Oakland will keep it close with Mr. Cable.
Yeah, I agree with Danny on this one.
Cable guy.
I haven't watched an Oakland-Baltimore game since Siragusa fell on Rich Gannon in the playoffs. Remember that game back
the
in
playoff
2000?
Game. I do remember.
Yeah, okay, that's a good story. Okay, I'm going to go with Danny, same thing.
Wow. I like the way the Raiders are playing of late, but I like even better the way the Ravens have bounced back.
this year for the most part. So I'm going to go with the Ravens and the spread.
Okay.
I will take the Ravens to win the game, and I am going to lay the points, although not very confidently, because I don't think they can score enough to lay 7 to anybody. But Oakland doesn't do anything offensively, so this will be another one of those weeks that the opponent scores like 7 points and everybody will declare that the Ravens' defense is back, but not taking into consideration that they're playing an offense that can't move the ball against anybody. So I'll take the Ravens.
I'm going to take the Ravens to win, but I'll agree with Mike and Andy about the spread. I think that the Raiders will cover.
There's a loss for you and me, Eric.
Yeah. Well.
Next game, Arizona at Carolina. Arizona at Carolina.
Carolina by 4.
Carolina blew out New Orleans last week, right?
Correct.
At home.
I was surprised.
I was too. Not necessarily that they won, but the way it unfolded.
I guess that game really unraveled when Reggie Bush went out.
Yeah. Well, he's still out. Deuce McAllister, though.
But he's not playing in this game.
Yeah, right.
So relevant to this actual game, Andy.
I'll take Arizona.
Andy having a Fred moment.
Arizona's getting 4.
I will take Arizona with the points. I like it.
Flat out win?
Sure.
No, I'll take Carolina both ways. I'm still on the Jake Delhomme bandwagon, more so than I'm on the Ken Wisenhunt bandwagon. So the quarterback supersedes the coach. Carolina both ways.
Yeah, I really like the way I really want Arizona to be that team that breaks out this year. And I think they might, but not in this game. I'm going to take Carolina both ways.
Eric, did you happen to see the Palin McCain interview with Brian Williams from NBC?
Starting in January. Yeah. We're going to lay more.
No, I didn't.
At one point, McCain wipes his nose with his finger and looks at it. Very presidential. Paul, go ahead.
You
know what's great? Those are the things that he comes up with that are anti-McCain.
Obama looks good. McCain doesn't. Right. I'm voting Obama.
Right. And unfortunately, the rest of the country is doing the same thing.
You didn't, by happen,
America,
by,
the land of
by
idiots.
Chance, happen to hear the Biden quote about the three-letter word that this campaign is all about?
Jobs.
J-O-B-S. Yeah. Jobs.
Very vice presidential.
Yeah. Numbnut.
But McCain looked at his hand.
Right.
So he can't
that's no good.
I am going to take Carolina to win this game at home, which I think is a tough one. This is a good matchup.
Look at him.
This is a good matchup right here. I'm going to take Arizona with the points, though. I think they lose by a field goal and squeak out a cover.
I think this is a good 2008 matchup.
Well, it's
like, I don't think it's a
it
great
is 2008,
game, but I think in relation to the rest of the league this
season, what you're
saying. I think in another year, it wouldn't be that great. Of matchup, these two teams.
In the NFC, though, these are two of the better teams. I mean, especially outside of the East. I mean, the East is all the good teams, and everybody
all
else
the juggernauts
is
are in the East.
There's no one worth anything in the North, and there's no one worth anything really in the West, except for maybe Arizona, like Eric said. I think the South is decent teams.
What's the number here?
4.
I'm going to go with Carolina both ways in this game. I think
that's 2 losses I got already.
Both teams are kind of on a little bit of a roll. They're playing well. I don't think Arizona is quite there yet to go across the country and beat Carolina. Carolina's, they got it together. I thought that they would lose, actually, to New Orleans last week, and they impressed me. So
they've been kind of riding that wave, too. They continue that inconsistent up and down.
Yeah, they have.
Steve Smith has played pretty well since coming back.
Yeah.
You see that catch he had, the touchdown?
Oh, it's great.
He's a great player.
He really is.
I mean, when he's not beating up his teammates, he's pretty good now.
I would love to have, when Brady was here, can you imagine him with Tom Brady?
Imagine him knocking Tom Brady out.
Can you imagine Randy Moss with Tom Brady?
No, I love Randy Moss, but, I mean, Smith is all over the place. You know, he's Wes Welker on steroids.
No, literally.
You know?
A black Wes Welker on steroids. Okay.
I think he's Steve Smith on steroids.
All right, next game, Tampa Bay at Dallas.
Cowboys by 2.5.
Mm.
Tough one to call here.
Romo's out.
Right.
I will take Dallas because I don't think they're going to get embarrassed 2 weeks in a row. I think they will continue to ride a roller coaster because of immaturity and lack of leadership and all the things we've talked about. And I also don't think Tampa's that good. What are they, like 5-2?
They're 5-2, but it's I agree
with you. They're a fraudulent 5-2.
Very dry.
Not that good. So I'll, even though Jeff Garcia's back, that whole relationship with Gruden is always tenuous at best. And so I'll go with Dallas, but not feel real confident about it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. I don't really feel too convinced that Dallas is going to pull this one out, but I just can't see them losing every game without Tony Romo.
Right.
Especially against mediocre teams. But they lost to St. Louis.
stream of consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah,
so but they lost the Celebs.
Dallas both ways. Screw it.
Yeah. I don't see them having a horrible performance 2 weeks in a row. I mean, that St. Louis game was an embarrassment. So I think even without Romo, Brad Johnson gets the upper hand on one of his many former teams, and Dallas wins this going away.
Well, I'm going to agree with Andy. I'm going to take Dallas, but I don't feel very good about it. I think that it will help Brad Johnson to know that he's playing this week and not have that circus of Romo's throwing passes to Jerry Jones and whether or not he's going to play. It's definitive. Romo's out, and I think that will help Brad Johnson a little bit. They're at home, and let's face it, they need a win. They've lost two in a row. They've looked bad in doing it. They easily could have lost four in a row if they had lost that Eagles game on that Monday night way back when. It's trouble time in Dallas. The ship be sinking.
The ship be sinking. Michael Ray Richardson.
Right. The ship be sinking.
And speaking of that, Wade Phillips, I know we talk about his coaching and what he's a clown, whatever. But is there anything more opposite than even-keeled Patriots than at the beginning of the season, Wade Phillips was saying, get your ring fingers ready.
Right.
Last week I saw him say, I just don't know if this can be fixed.
Yeah.
Like a month ago,
like
you were saying you
up,
were
like,
easily the best team in football. You're getting a Super Bowl ring, and now you just don't know whether it can be fixed.
It's like Mike said, too. He throws his hands up as if to say, hey, look, I've done everything I can.
Right.
I don't know what these guys are.
You have. You destroyed the team. You stink.
That's what happens when you're excited on the sideline when you win games the way they, you know.
The Cincinnati game.
Yeah, the Cincinnati game.
Holding on for dear life.
That they were playing pathetic football, and they get this fluke touchdown on a deflection that puts the game away at the end. And, you know, and he's acting like they just clinched the Super Bowl with a first down to, you know, line up in victory formation.
Yeah.
As you say, Fred, it all stems down from the top.
It does. It's going to be very fun watching Tampa Bay win this game this weekend.
I'm 0-3 in the spread already.
The stuff that comes out of Dallas is going to be really fun. It's not going to be very much happy rally or happy.
Well, hopefully,
ranch
Albert Breer will be there next week instead of here.
Albert Breer?
I'm just busting his
How's
balls.
The life coaching doing? How's he? Is he helping you?
He's going down the tubes. No, I coached
him. You helped
him.
No, but he said he's going to return the favor. No.
He can't help me.
No?
I don't
no
need
one can help.
Help no one can help me. What's he going to teach me? How to spit tobacco?
Ooh.
Into Mike Felger's cup?
Yeah, that was good. That was a great day, by the way. I wish I had been there for that. But thanks to the Andy Hart blogging, I got
Paul,
the full
by the way, a lot of good reviews on the show, the PFW show that we had, despite the,
really?
The setting, despite the a lot of people really appreciated
Mickey
our candor.
Writing in?
No, our candor in our analysis.
Obviously, Fred Kurtz.
Okay. It's nice to know.
A guess. Okay.
It was a little guess. The Wayne's World set didn't distract everybody enough because that was bad.
R.D. Saul came running over after
he
said he just got off the phone with Colorado and they were upset that the Patriots beat him.
The state of Colorado.
Well, it's funny, you know how we walk through every week and no one ever looks at us, no one ever says anything. We do the show from this, and all of a sudden, with everybody's best friend, they're coming up to us. Leslie Gatos came over, R.D. Saul comes over.
Did your guy come over?
Chet Curtis was in the vicinity. Yeah. I thought Fred was going
to
wet himself.
You had to change your pants, didn't you?
He bumped into us at one point.
Soggy pants.
On his way to have a
had to change his diapers.
Oh, see now
he does look like he wears diapers.
Yeah. He's, you know.
You think he does?
Some men, the older they get, the higher their pants go up. You know,
yours so. Would go lower.
Yours go down
with that gut pushing them down.
I said, some men, you fat headed.
I hope it's Flanders.
Tell him to shut up. Tell him to shut up.
Shut the.
I like when you tell him to shut up.
Washington at Detroit.
Detroit is at home, Andy, getting 7.5.
Well, shut up.
That's not enough. I'll take Fred's skins.
That's not enough.
Detroit stinks, and that's the bottom line. So they have having their first blackout, I think, since they opened the new stadium. And
that's too bad.
It'd be interesting to
see.
Oh,
I thought you meant they were going to all wear black in the stands.
Right, I thought the same thing.
Sports Business Journal did their annual survey of fans on the stadiums, and the Patriots came in like 9th overall. They had different categories, but then they averaged it out. The Patriots were 9th
something like that,
in the
yeah.
league. Ford Field was way at the bottom, and I was very surprised.
I think
what
that's
the yeah, you guys have been there,
the
right?
Well,
you guys
have been there. It's atmosphere, accessibility,
it's probably because of
quality
that.
Of the team. You know, quality of the team drove them down.
I was going to say, that was probably 30, ranked 32 or whatever.
But
so.
Because they're so bad, their atmosphere is terrible. But that's right. One of the best places to watch a game
it's
I've
a
ever been.
It's a great stadium.
Whereas I think
you were there for Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Patriots has probably helped much the other way, where quality of team is a big boost.
for the overall rating.
To the lack of atmosphere.
Because.
Nice atmosphere Monday night, though, Freddie.
Yeah, they
fans
got it up.
Fans were involved in
they
that
got
game
it up.
Monday night.
Thanks to Gary.
Gary
played a big role in the victory
did
Monday
Did he really?
Night.
What'd you
he
do, did. Gary?
He played a song from the century.
What was
and
the,
they actually.
What the was the century? Song?
Young Jeezy.
How does it go?
Gary, can you give us a clip in a minute?
Keep doing your picks. I'll get it.
You didn't see when all the defensive players were dancing?
No,
and
I did.
Moss was
I remember that was like in the third quarter or something.
I think it was later than that.
Later than that?
I got the CD in the car. I'll bring it in for
I remember
you.
It was later in the game, and the fans were going nuts.
And it played
it
into
played
the whole
up
thing.
And up and up, too. I mean, it started slow and really built to a crescendo.
That's good.
But it played into the whole thing where Bill asked them to have fun and dance and all that crap.
And it was 34-7 at the time, I think.
It was funny because they gave up like four passes in a row after that, though. It was kind of funny.
Nice job, G.
So this is it?
That's it.
But, you need the visual. Because the players started dancing.
Will Fork was bouncing around the
middle of
the
field. It's a popular song, Fred. And every single guy was involved, except for one. And in the stands, you could hear the crowd in the background really starting to get into it. And by the time that the TV timeout was over,
what'd you say, Rodney?
The crowd was going crazy.
Oh.
Hello, this is Kermit the Frog broadcasting from the Super Bowl.
That's it?
That was a great PFW in progress moment. I'll never forget that. What are we doing? Eric's holding up love notes to Andy. Where are we?
Check the box if
Washington,
you go out with
Detroit
me.
Is Mike.
What?
Mike Parenti, Washington, Detroit.
Yeah,
Washington by
both ways. I think I read something where Campbell hasn't thrown an interception all year. Is that correct?
Ooh.
Jason Campbell, really?
Yeah, your boy. Very efficient.
Funny because last year at this point he hadn't thrown a touchdown yet.
Yeah, well, he hadn't done much of anything.
Well,
but.
You could see the improvement at the end of the season. That's what I based my picks on.
No, you didn't. You, just
you
pulled
rolled
it out
the
your
dice.
What, you think I just pulled it out?
Oh, yes, I did.
Come on.
What improvement did you see
you're
at the end of the season
yourself.
When he wasn't playing and Todd Collins took him to the playoffs?
Yeah, that's right. He was very well.
What's
he
the number again on this
well.
Game?
7 and
he
a held that clipboard real well in the sideline.
I forgot
sideline.
About that. It was like the last 5 weeks.
Yeah,
then, wasn't it?
Skins well, both ways. Thank you.
Sometimes I let those go, but then we get these emails and say, I can't believe you just throw that stuff out there.
I tell you what. You know, I don't think Detroit's going to go 0-16, and I'm really tempted to pick them in this game. I'm not going to. I'll pick the Redskins to win, but I'll take Detroit with
meow.
The number.
At least he said that.
Yeah, usually he just says it.
Yeah,
multiple
yeah.
times.
I'm going to go with the two buffoons at the beginning. I'll take Washington both ways.
I'm going to take Washington to win, but not cover.
Oh, and you're what? So you're doing exactly what I did.
You did the same.
He doesn't think Detroit's going to win.
I think Detroit's going to lose the game.
But you're going to take them to cover.
It's 7 points.
7.5.
7.5.
Hip hip.
So you made the exact same picks that I just made.
I'd never,
you think Detroit's
going to
win the game,
Detroit
but you're
afraid. Was going to win. I never considered Detroit was
going to win. You're afraid, all right? You want me to say it? I'm afraid.
By the way, if you're on Patriots.com now or if you are listening to a podcast, log on to Patriots.com to get your free match key and be automatically entered to win Patriots tickets, autographed footballs, or Patriots Pro Shop gift cards. Match keys will help you navigate the web in a way you'd never imagined. Log on to Patriots.com and click on Win Tickets for more information.
So natural.
Oh, by the way, did anyone win the Qdoba question today?
Yeah. Yes.
Who was it?
Pete from Hoboken.
All right.
First time
First timer again?
Yeah.
The streak continues.
And he's been to Arthur's.
Fred just
oh,
said
really?
Loves it.
If you're on Patriots.com right now or listening to a podcast, there's no other way to listen to the show other than on Patriots.com or on a podcast.
I didn't write this.
So ad lib a
jerk.
Little bit. Make it sound accurate.
Jerk. You're a real jerk, you know what?
And what is this match key thing that's popped up out of nowhere?
I'll explain it sometime when we have more time. Right now we're in the middle of picks.
Because it just showed
Eric's
up
doing
on the
a show
cover
alone.
Of our
we
issue.
Got plenty of time.
Oh.
It just showed up on the cover of Patriots Football Weekly this week.
I'll explain it to you.
And it tells you to go to the website.
You know what that means, Gary.
Why.
I move out of the basement for the worst show ever.
Screw you, Perillo. I wouldn't be so sure. He might break into art and music, and people will be like, whoa, diversity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, say can you see. He's going to be sweating by the end of that 2 hours.
You want to give us the next game over there, Fat
Okay,
five,
next game is Buffalo at Miami. Buffalo
Dolphins
at Miami.
Getting 1.5 at home. Tough game here.
Buffalo's a little hurting. They lost a couple linebackers last week, I think.
DeGorio.
DeGorio is his name. What's his name?
DeGiorno.
DeGorio.
DeGiorno.
Not delivery. It's DeGiorno.
What's his name?
I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that. Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter. It's Buffalo versus Miami.
DeGiorgio.
What, you mean the best team in the division versus Miami?
versus the worst team in the division.
I'm not convinced anymore about Miami. I'm giving up on the Miami Dolphins in the Wildcat formation. The Ravens sniffed that out last week.
Did they use it?
They did. And it got blown up.
They did.
Well, that's gonna
good.
Happen.
That's right. Good.
Right.
I mean,
because it's really a basic running play. And,
yeah.
But my point is
They had nothing else beyond that.
Last year, Tom Brady had the best offense in NFL history, and there were times the passing game got sniffed out and stopped.
I know.
Exactly. And that's anything when showed up and ran the ball, and now he doesn't run the ball.
Pennington cost Miami that game last week.
I will take the Buffalo Bills because I think they are the better all-around team. And as long as Trent Edwards plays and they're playing a competitive level team, I'll pick them because I think they're a pretty solid football team.
I can't see how it's only 1.5. Is there something else I don't know about?
Well, I think it's the injuries for Buffalo.
And well, on the
who
road.
Are they? Can you tell us who they are?
Well,
no, he's on NFL.com.
Don't go on NFL.com. Go somewhere else more reputable. Try Yahoo.
Going right into the injury report trap.
DiGiorgio is hurt.
DiGiorgio.
Aaron Schobel is hurt.
He didn't play last week.
Your booty is hurt.
Make my
Eric's
out of
is, it. But that was from a tough night.
Gary's chuckling.
So they're not without injury, Buffalo.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Buffalo both ways.
Eric, you can't get mad at me. I bring you the paper.
That's true. Andy's my paper boy now.
I bring him the New York Times
every morning
day.
Now.
Wow.
For the last 2 days.
Where do you get the New York Times?
My back deck.
Really? You don't steal it from your neighbor?
Andy gets it through the back door.
Easy.
How do you get the New York
nice.
Times?
Well,
do you get the New York Times?
I don't know. The guy brings it. I get the Globe. I pay for the Globe, and there's always a Times there, too.
Yeah, New York Times has become an insert.
Basically, I mean, they're just giving it away because no one will buy it, I guess.
Read it? It's a big liberal rag.
No, I don't read it. I've never opened it. It saved me 12 pounds of recyclables.
Ugly game, though.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo, too. I think it could be a tough game for them. You know, I don't think the Bills are ready to be able to go on the road and win games they quote-unquote should win. I'm not sure they're at that level yet, but I agree with the way Andy put it. This is, you know, an evenly matched game, and I think they're a pretty good team as long as Trent Edwards is healthy.
They'll lose some of those.
I was very impressed with him last week.
Yeah.
Well, I've been impressed with him since. I thought it was pretty obvious. Weren't we there the
day he
took
made
over?
His debut?
I think we all
Will
said
Fork
immediately.
Took Lossman out of the
guy's
game.
Way better than Lossman.
Yeah. I mean, the first drive we said they already have a better quarterback.
So, and he's only improved ever since. And
I think he'll be all right. Yep.
I think we've pretty much proven
right,
that if you have one of those, a quarterback
right,
you can count on.
He said I'd be all right.
So I'm going to take Buffalo, too.
Me, too. I'm taking Buffalo both ways. All right. Next game. This is the one in London. San Diego at – well, no. Who's the home team? New Orleans is the home team.
So
San Diego against New Orleans in London.
What? San Diego, New Orleans.
In London.
Don't I need a spread?
3. San Diego.
San Diego by 3 as the home team in London. I'll take San Diego.
Okay.
Taking New Orleans. I'm just sick of the Chargers now.
I'm sick of New Orleans because they got blown their bungholes out.
We know they're not good.
Panthers.
I don't expect them to be good. Expected more from the Chargers. I'm not getting it, so I'm taking New Orleans.
Oh, this is the game where I meant to say Deuce McAllister will pick up the load.
Yes. Well, these are both teams that have had seesaw seasons. You know, one week they look good, the next week they don't. It's
called the NFL.
Yeah. Well, but these two in particular. But I'm going to take San Diego both ways.
Yeah, I like the Chargers, too. If Reggie Bush was playing, I think I might give a little bit more of a chance to the Saints. But he's been their entire offense. Everything has revolved around him. And I know that Breeze is getting all the credit, but I think the offense has really been centered around Reggie Bush, and he's not there, so I think that's enough for the Chargers to get by.
I was just going to say, I wonder if all our listeners in England have picked up their tickets. I know James told us he went to
Actually, there's a lot of the UK guys are coming here this weekend.
Oh.
It is a shame that Bush is out now because he really was starting to, you know, get his stride.
God bless you.
I'm going to go with New Orleans anyway to win this game.
After 8 years, he was starting to really hit his stride in the White House.
San Diego, I'm sorry.
This country needs
I don't think that they're going to go to London and win a game. I really don't.
But the other team will.
But the Saints will go to London and win a game.
One of them is going
One
to.
Of them has to, actually.
Not really.
It could be a tie. But
especially if it pours again and it's a debacle.
Last year's was bad.
Kansas City at the New York Jets.
Jets by 13.
Is that Thigpen, the quarterback now?
I don't know.
Because both of the
Heward and Croyle are on IR.
Yeah.
So.
Has to be.
Apparently, Thigpen is.
Heward got placed on IR?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They picked up Quinn Gray.
Quinn Gray.
Oh, the bullet thrower.
Maybe he'll be throwing bullets.
He'll be starting for them at some
Eventually,
point.
Eventually, yeah.
But probably
Larry
not this
Johnson
week.
Benched. Really helping the Hart Foundation in fantasy football circles. But the Jets are obviously the better team. The Chiefs, every once in a while, will win one of those games like they did a couple weeks ago. But other than that, I'll go against the Chiefs when at all possible, and I will even lay the points.
I think the Jets will win 72-0, so I'm taking the Jets both ways.
Yeah, it can't get any worse for Kansas City. I'm going to take the Jets both ways.
Yeah, I was originally going to take the points until you guys told me that both of those guys are definitely not going to play.
They have nobody left.
So they have nobody.
If they're on IR, they can't play. So I will take the Jets.
Good ball. Not even in the playoffs.
Not even in the playoffs. For those of you who want to put SPFWs into Kansas City.
You got to go with the Jets, even with the points in this one. All right. Atlanta at Philadelphia.
Eagles by 9.
Ooh. Wow.
I will take the Eagles to win at home. But I will take the points.
Yeah.
I like what the Falcons are doing.
See, write that down for Fred.
Stamp of approval. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well,
in this case, it actually matters because he's been doing a good job. So, but, yeah, I think the Falcons are building a little something there. And as I told you, Paul, just like I told you on draft weekend.
And I hang on your every word, Andy.
Sam Baker is going to be a very good
the
left
touchdown
tackle
maker
in the National Football League. A half a sack he's given up in 7 games protecting Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Matty Ice.
Fred and Andy are right. The NFL's Offensive Rookie of the Year, Matt Ryan, will keep this game close against the...
I thought you were going with Sam Baker.
No.
That is all,
I don't think left tackles will win Offensive Rookie of the Year awards. I don't really see it happening. The overrated Eagles will win the game, but they will not cover the spread. That's all I have to say about that.
All right.
That was
good. I'm gonna continue that theme. I'm going to go with Philly to win. But I like the way Ryan and his Falcons are playing, so I'm going to pick them to keep it close.
Well, I've been very impressed with Atlanta, but I'm looking over Andy's shoulder right now. I see that Westbrook plans on playing. Atlanta cannot stop the run. They have not played very well on the road. I'm going to take the Eagles to win and win handily.
Wow, Paul. I got to go with Andy and everyone else. Atlanta covers, Philly wins.
Okay.
Cleveland at Jacksonville.
Jags by 7.
Cleveland at Jacksonville.
By
the way, Phil Savage on the radio, yet another example of why you don't put GMs on the radio.
Yeah, he talks too much.
Yep.
He always has.
Check it out.
Stuff, he says way too much. I'll take Jacksonville at home. I don't feel great about it, but I'll take them. Cleveland, I can't feel great about picking Cleveland ever, I'll take Jacksonville.
All my picks kind of go the same way. I think one team's good, the other team sucks. This is the case where I think Cleveland sucks, so I'll just take Jacksonville both ways.
Except when they're beating up on the Giants.
Yeah.
They won fluke victory.
Cleveland, big disappointment this year.
It.
Thought they were going to be a lot better team. But
So did you and everybody else made them their chic pick.
Iron? I didn't pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
I did pick them to go to the Super Bowl.
Why are we talking like that?
I don't know.
We have issues. So I'll take Jacksonville both ways, guy.
Yeah, I'll take Jacksonville to win the game, but I will take the points with Cleveland. They've been very competitive. They covered last week. They won the week before. I think they continue to play good games. I think they'll have a chance to win this one, but I think Jacksonville wins it with a late field goal.
I got to go Jacksonville both ways in this one. All right.
Paul's going to have a tough week if Fred continues.
I'm getting
to
buried
succeed.
This week. I have at least 6 or 7 picks that are different than Fred with the spread.
This could be the week where I just fall apart. You never know. You don't know which week it is.
It's coming. 5, 6.
There will be a
7
week where I don't do well.
7 games we differ on already.
Cincinnati at Houston. Cincinnati at Houston.
Houston looking to win what? 4 in a row?
3.
3 in a row?
9.5 points.
Ooh. I will take by. Houston to win. But I will also. So I'll take the points.
Houston's only 2-4, so.
So they're looking to win their 3rd in a row.
Oh, they're looking.
Yes.
Where is this game being played again?
Houston.
Houston.
This is the game that was wedged into the bye week.
That hurricane thing. Bengals will win at some point, but probably not this week. So we'll just take Houston both ways.
Yeah, Bengals are a horrible team. Houston's not that much better, but they're at home and they got a little momentum. I'll take them both ways.
Yeah, I like Houston both ways. I have to pick against Ryan Fitzpatrick until they get Carson Palmer back. I can't see the Bengals scoring enough points to cover against really anybody. So I'll take Houston.
I will take Houston as well. Oh, their favorite.
Thank God.
To cover. New York Giants at Pittsburgh. New York Giants at – this is probably the game of the week.
It is the game of the week, no question.
Yeah. This is in Indy, Tennessee, but this is probably better. Pittsburgh by three.
I will take Pittsburgh to win and cover because you people know I think they're the better overall football team despite the lack of continuity in the running game and Rashard Mendenhall. I will take Big Ben to use the aerial attack to get an early lead as he likes to do and then just beat up on the New York football Giants.
Yeah, I'll take Pittsburgh both ways too. The Giants play like dog crap last week and still managed to win the football game. Not sure I like the trend that they're going in right now with a tough schedule coming up, so I'll just go with the Steelers here.
I'm going to take the Mike's juggernaut Giants to win this game outright.
Because?
He hates Pittsburgh.
I hate Pittsburgh.
I will take the Steelers. If this game was in the Meadowlands, I would be taking the Giants, but I'm going to go with the home field here. It's only 3 points, so I'll take the Steelers to eke one out.
I think the Giants
Roethlisberger
are one of those
could
teams,
get sacked more than five times in this game, however.
I think the Giants are one of those teams that they know they're good, but
Giants have a good offensive
line. They're going to get up for big games and not really play that. They're going to play to the level of their opponent, is what I'm trying to say. And I think they get up for this game. I think the Giants' offensive line and defensive line are what wins this game. And that's the only way you can beat Pittsburgh. You got to beat them in the trenches, and they do it this week. So I'm going to pick the Giants. All right. Let's see. Is there not a – oh, there's no Sunday night game this week?
No.
There's no Sunday night game because of the World Series.
Correct.
So the last 4 o'clock game, 4:15, Seattle at San Francisco. Seattle at San Francisco.
Niners by 5.
Oh, that's interesting. All the turmoil that Mike Holmgren is going to take over in San Francisco next year, and he's poo-pooing that and say he's taking a year off. That's interesting with him as the lame duck coach in Seattle. This is a bad football game. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, yeah.
To
that's
I will. Yeah, I don't know. I will take the home team because of the home team. I'll take the home damn team.
Yeah, just go with the Niners. No one really cares anyway.
Right. I'll take the San Fran O'Sullivans as well.
Yeah, can't argue.
Yep, same here. All right, and finally, well, not finally, but before we get to the Patriots game, the Monday night game is Indy at Tennessee. This is actually
a rare good Monday night matchup.
Yeah, intriguing game.
Be a little bit more intriguing if Indy was a little bit better and more consistent this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, I mean, on paper, you would want to see the Manning-led offense versus the Titans defense and see who – that kind of chess match.
Titans defense is
ridiculous
because they were championship caliber last year, and they've gotten even better.
They've evolved. I will take Tennessee to win because I think you can run on the Colts, and I think they will run.
4 points.
Tennessee by 4.
Yeah.
I'll take them to win and cover.
Yeah.
I think they beat up on Peyton Manning. I think they beat up on Joe Adai. I think the defense does what it's been doing. And I don't think they'll rush for 100 billion yards, but I think they'll run enough to win.
I mean, to think that after Week 7, Tennessee would be up 3 games over Indy in the AFC South is unbelievable.
Yeah, this pretty much ends the division race this week, too. After this game, I think, when Tennessee beats them. Don't like the way Indy's playing right now.
No.
You thought they had a little something going after the Baltimore game, they got blown up by the Packers.
Well, yep. It's all Bill Polian's fault. Yeah.
I got fooled into that game as well, thinking that they scored some points against a good defense. I was wrong.
The defense living off its reputation.
I was wrong.
Well, it really hurts me to make this pick, but Tennessee is not going to go 16-0. They're going to lose to their division rival Colts on Monday night.
Okay.
In an upset.
That's a big call, Eric.
Yeah.
Why does it pain
I hate
you
to do it.
You manned up.
Because I don't like Indy.
I'm going with the Fred Eric upset here too. I'm taking Indy. They're a better team.
I'm not taking Indy. I'm
no,
taking Tennessee.
I'm saying it's an upset.
Oh yeah, it is an upset. I think it is. No? You don't think so? The way Indy's playing?
No, well, that's why Tennessee's favored, because Indy's not playing well.
And, you know, I just think...
But I certainly wouldn't consider this an upset. I don't think anybody's going to look at that and say, wow, did you see what Indy did to Tennessee?
I'm going by the number, Paul.
No, I know.
But
it's
I think
Tennessee's
4 points. Defense just mauls them, smothers them, and, you know. So I got to go with Tennessee to win this game. All right. Finally, just in time, too. We timed it perfectly. We have 5 minutes to talk about the Patriots at home against the Rams, a Rams team that has won their last two games under Jim Haslett. He's instilled a little bit more discipline on the team, I guess. And well, what's all this talk about? He had this like thing where the employees got
he invited the employees of the organization to have lunch with the team, with the players.
So before there wasn't enough of that, or
well, yeah. I think he was trying to foster too much of a divide. Yeah, he was trying to foster the team atmosphere.
If he knew anything about this place, that divide does nothing for losing. I mean,
there's
been a divide here for 7 years,
right.
And
hey, it's a gimmick. It's a gimmick.
Right. Right.
That's all it is.
And so
because
far
they've won, because they've won two games, you know.
Right. Now, I don't know why it matters if the guy in the marketing department likes Leonard Little.
Well, but wait a minute. Do you think it's a political move by Haslett to endear himself to the organization so that he gets the job next year?
Well, he also supposedly, if he wins six games, it's automatic.
Which the Rooneys are looking into because they think it violates the Rooney Rule.
I think the Rooneys need to go away.
I do, too.
I think the Rooney Rule needs to go away.
I think they're just trying to put something else on the NFL radar to look at other than them.
They're trying to be now good people. Oh, Roger Goodell should get an extension, and you know.
I just don't understand why a team can't hire
whoever
they want.
You're involved in gambling and you're violating the rules, and stop trying to make up for it.
I just don't understand why a team can't hire whoever they want. That annoys me. But Pats by 7, Andy.
I will take the New England Patriots to win and cover. It's funny, everybody. A month ago, this was a cupcake game, one of maybe the few on the schedule that you would say, okay, the Patriots, they should win that game. You know, coming off last week, you obviously feel better about the Patriots, but you feel a little bit better about the Rams. Steven Jackson, obviously we'll get the injury report today, is the big question
mark. He didn't participate yesterday.
But expected to work out today, and then sounds like it's going to come down to the weekend. It's nothing will be decided this week. He is the offense. I mean, leading
rusher. Oh, my God.
Rusher,
receiver
leading
and
receiver.
Rusher, yeah.
Big plays. If he can't go, then I think the Patriots blow him out. But if he can play, I think they win anyway. A lot of rotating up front really helps them out, keeps them fresh. Richard Seymour likes it. Mike's writing about it for the paper. But I just
everybody's
think the
on board.
Patriots are the better team. Yeah. Patriots are the better team. Of course, they'll probably go out and lay an egg like they did 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah,
you know, the cupcake thing, there are no more cupcake games with this team now because they're so up and down. With that said, this is a far better team than St. Louis. And even if Jackson plays, I figure he's going to be limited to some degree. So I think 7 points is pretty reasonable, so I'll take the Patriots both ways.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I like the way the Pats came back from that loss in San Diego. I think they're going to keep it going. They got another game at home. Like you said, Jackson maybe a little nicked up too. And I think that the magical streak, for now at least, comes to an end for the Rams. We'll go with the Pats both ways.
Yeah, if Steven Jackson was 100% healthy, or you know, what didn't have a specific injury like he does have, I might be tempted to take the points. Either way, I think the Patriots were going to win this game because they're the far better team. The Rams were very, very lucky to win at Washington. They had a couple of well-placed turnovers at key junctures that led to points, and that turned the tide of that game. And even then, they needed a last-second field goal. I'm not sold on this resurgence. I give Jim Haslett a lot of credit because clearly they had quit on Scott Linehan, and they're playing hard for Jim Haslett. I don't think anybody could argue with that. But I don't think they have the horses to beat the Patriots in Foxborough. But like Andy said, maybe it's not quite the cupcake we thought it was going to be maybe a month ago.
My pick's assuming.
And I'm going to pick the Patriots to cover as well.
My pick is assuming Steven Jackson plays. But, you know, I know he's nicked up. But, hey, the Patriots are nicked up too. I mean, this is the first game trying to do it without Rodney Harrison. We don't know if Sammy Morris is going to play. We don't know if Lamont Jordan's going to play. Patriots win, but they do not cover this game. This isn't going to be a tough game.
And we shouldn't totally just disregard Mark Bulger and Torrey Holt and Donnie Avery.
Right, Mark
the
Bulger
secondary right
up.
Now is still a work in progress. We're going to be saying that forever, and you take the first game without Harrison, like Fred
Harrison,
said.
Right.
You hit for a big play, and all of a sudden things sort of start snowballing.
If Patriots win by 1 point, this is a good win.
I think that the thing that you were talking about this week with Denver, Freddie, with the pressure, I think you're going to see that this week. This is an offensive line that's been in turmoil all year. At different times, all five guys have been out. Last week, Orlando Pace didn't play at left tackle. I think this is a week the Patriots could really put a lot of heat on Bulger. He's gotten sacked a lot this year. The last time they played a guy that got sacked a lot was San Francisco. That was by far their best day pressure-wise. I think you're going to see. Okay. I think you're going to, especially if Steven Jackson's limited. I think the Rams have scored before last week. The Rams had scored 5 touchdowns all year.
If they don't have Steven Jackson to go to, all bets are off.
Oh yeah, that's one thing I took from Castle. He was talking about the Rams defense, and he said, you know, they have some personnel up front, Long and Little, and he went over this whole Corey Chavis, blah blah blah. And you know, their schemes have been working the last couple weeks. Well, actually, it's been working all year. They got blown out like 35-10, like the first 4 games.
I mean, Buffalo was down to them. Right. At the half, and they put up like 27 in the second half. And that's not a very good offensive team, Buffalo. They're a solid football team, but they're not known for its offense. So I don't think this is a very good football team, St. Louis. And 2 weeks ago, everybody was convinced it was the worst in football.
Right.
Now all of a sudden, they've won 2 games, and they're going to come to Foxborough and
well,
beat the Patriots.
The bottom line is the Patriots are going to be 5-2 after this week. And hey,
I agree.
Hey, what we could not ask for anything more than that, really.
And then you're going to enter in, which is going to be a lot of fun, I think, a very interesting stretch of schedule where you go
Indy
Buffalo,
yep.
Miami, the Jets, Pittsburgh,
yep.
In some order. That might not be exactly the right order, but
it's
you have 5 games that conceivably you could lose all 5.
Yep.
Now, obviously, chances are they'll probably go 3-2 or 2-3 or something like that.
Are we going past 2 o'clock? Did you guys see this ESPN report from Wendy Nix?
Yeah, we've seen it.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he'd...
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Gary wanted us to go a little past 2.
John okay. Rook is coming on with...
Let's go a little bit past 2. Gary wants us to stay around.
Well, I have to go to the bathroom.
Why don't you go?
Take a bathroom break.
One of us will be able to say, see you next Tuesday.
I'm on a 2 o'clock schedule. You know, my body...
Check it out.
So I have to...
He does take that right turn when we come through the PR department to the bathroom
time
back.
Jeez, I got to take a leak so bad I can taste it.
You know what they say? If you eat regular, you blank regular.
Yes. You're staying after to do some work with John
this.
Rook.
I'll
show.
See you
I'm
next Tuesday.
What do you have in store for us for the John Rook Show, Patriots Playbook?
Well, you'll have to tune in and find out because I don't have any idea at this point.
Gary, what does Eric have in store for us on the John Rook Patriots Playbook?
Russell Baxter.
Yeah, every Thursday we have Russell Baxter from ESPN.
Okay.
Who joins us at least once. We will. We did have Matt Castle today, right?
We did.
Showed up very late.
We did.
Ended up doing it later, so we'll probably hear from him.
We'll have to find out with Dose Gender.
He was there. He was on his knees in front of him.
Oh.
No, he really was. Malt box wasn't working,
yeah.
So everybody had to run up to the podium and hold their microphone. So he was literally... on his knees next to the podium underneath with his little mic hanging up.
Must have felt comfortable.
No, I think he actually enjoyed it.
That's almost as bad as...
Is anybody going to stick around with Eric?
No.
No. Some of us have to do some writing.
Yeah, we have to write. You know, I already got screwed out of writing yesterday.
Would you like me to read, Gary, what match key is?
Sure.
This is courtesy of strippers, what match key is. This is that new thing, Paul, that... is on the cover of the paper, and there's a contest. You can go to this website, win Patriots tickets.
Yeah, it's got scam written all over it.
Yeah, it does. Feels like phishing to me, but I'm just saying. A match key is an anonymous profile of your personal interests and tastes. You create and store it online, share it with the sites you like, and use it to get recommendations you love across music, movies, blogs, podcasts, video, whatever. Creating your match key is easy, and you can use it at any site in the rapidly expanding match key network. Is that sort of like the... newly expanded eight-man practice squad?
No, I'm going
all
with
we need
Patriots,
is your,
the expanding Patriots radio network.
All we need is your social security number.
The more you use it, the better your match
my waistline?
Gets at connecting you with stuff you'll love. I don't think we should make fun of this, by the way.
What, my waistline?
No, match key.
No, don't worry about it.
I think this is one of those pet projects that we should...
Well, no question.
And it's part of the burgeoning empire of Patriots.com.
You could read that Todd email.
Oh, okay. Let me unfold it. It's about Paul.
There's a surprise.
Subject, Paul in the Hall. How can you drop a bomb on us in the last 3 minutes of a show, like Paul is in the Hall of Fame, and not give us time to respond? Yeah, today, I didn't see.
Right.
Yeah, we didn't need any time.
Here are a few comments Andy missed. One, when Paul went in the Hall of Fame, or the Hall of Fame, I thought it would be for competitive eating. Fat man. Two, does BU know you're not on EEI anymore? They're going to take it away because you're not in?
I am on EEI.
Maybe Lou Maloney will... take your spot. You're on again this week?
Every Sunday.
Oh, I meant, you know, something people listen
to. He means the real show.
The show that I'm a co-host on?
No, I mean,
and when they spell my name wrong in press releases? You're dismissing
that? Yeah, I was talking about the big show.
Yeah, no, Maloney has to be on every day.
Now you want me to go? You just said we're
no, it was a big show reference.
And three, will Paul get a bust
Do man boobies count? Paul doesn't really have man boobies.
A little bit.
He's got more of a big belly.
Maybe Fred was right.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.